mija.
Welcome into the Crunch Zone Podcast. Once again, LJ the Fiasco on mic one today. Sitting here with the rest of the crew.
Joe Kelly, that boy is good.
And
Dave Skull, that biggest biscuit.
And we are going to be recapping this week in Louisville sports. Thanks for coming in with us and being with us again for another eventful week in Louisville. Sports, athletics, whatever you want to call it. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I've been doing better.
Got to watch the Cards whoop up on, I guess that's a college basketball team.
Yeah, whatever you want to call that just happened. But Louisville's,
they're accredited.
I got to see Kevin Stallings stare into the abyss for 2 hours.
Bet you wish he'd bought a kid, huh?
Yeah, right. Everybody knows. Everybody now knows what the top of Kevin Stallings' head looks like because we looked at it for the full 40
minutes. He literally didn't get off the bench. Like he was just when the inbounded into the guy that was jumping out of bounds. You know, talking about that moment. They just go to Kevin Stallings and he's just staring at the ground with his face palming with both hands.
The curse of Jamie Dixon lives on.
When our high school team was getting just smoked one year, and we're on the bench. We got in so much trouble. You know, the coach is like, how come you don't have any pride? Why are you laughing? It's like, because we're a bunch of high school scrubs getting run by 60, and our student section's hilarious. Every time the other team would get the ball in the second half, I'm talking, we're down like 60. They'd start chanting defense. And then whenever we'd get the ball, they were chanting, it just doesn't matter.
Bless Pitt. They used to be a formidable foe. And I used to actually be scared when they came to town, be nervous about the game. Now I'm
DeJuan
just like,
Blair ain't walking through that door.
LaVansfield is not. Sam Young is not walking through that door.
Sam I've old. Forgotten about Sam.
Sam old as hell. He's the old
Sam Young.
The most ironic last name of all time,
dude.
Dude,
Sam's old.
Yeah, Sam old thought Greg Oden was baby faced.
Him and Greg Oden and LeBron all went to high school together.
LaVansfield had those like horrible straight back braids that didn't have any hang time.
Oh, God.
Like,
man,
he was like 5'8 and like 245 pounds. Just a damn bowling ball of a player. Oh, man.
Pitt was rough, man, when in the early 2000s when we first joined the Big East, man.
They were rough for a while.
They used to beat our ass thoroughly. But
we turned the corner on them when we had
it was the T-Will and Earl Clark years.
Who was it? Aaron Gray? Mm-hmm. Character had like a 3-game run where he was one of the best power forwards ever to play here.
Mm-hmm. Curtis and Padgett.
against Aaron Gray and then Hashim Tabeed up in UConn. He had himself a hell of a couple games.
He worked
there.
The beat.
Do you remember when Tabeed tried to reach out for a rebound, got his hand caught in Character's arms, and he just pulled his whole body over him? Tabeed, the worst 7-3 player I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, man.
Right next to some of those.
I'll tell you who I'm amazed is still in the NBA too, because I thought the beat and your man's Roy Hibbert
were
just
bibbity.
Gonna. I thought old Hibbity Bibbity was just gonna go work at Huber's farm and be like, I need a job as an apple picker. I can save you money on ladders.
Is he still with the Pacers? Or am I just
no, he's not on the Pacers. He's on.
He was with the Lakers for a year, right? And then
Maybe he's in Charlotte. I don't know. Somebody picked him. The joys of being tall.
Just imagine.
Here's the rub. Hibbert turned himself into all NBA player for like 2 years.
Yeah.
But then
and he was good. He was legit good. And then he just.
Well, that team like kind of just blew up on itself. There were rumors of like dudes cheating on people, like sleeping with each other's wives and like fiancés and. You know, Paul George, Lance Stephenson, Roy. Who else was on that team? Tony. Who was their point guard?
Tinsley?
No. Tinsley's like 45 years old.
Yeah,
man.
And?
Was it
you know how hard it is to leave the NBA? What's your
just
career, man?
Thing. Just do one thing well.
But, yeah, anyway, rather than trying to figure out who the starting point guard for the 2011 Pacers was. Yeah, Roy
it's
Hibbert.
It's Tinsley, I'm dragging you.
I mean, it very well may have been. He is 130, still playing ball, probably, likely. If nothing else, he's in the big three.
Roy Hibbert, dude.
There's so many dudes that I just love to be like, you know, he's playing in the big three.
You don't know. Was it
just like white chocolate?
Oh, David Stoudemire.
David West. Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's with the Warriors now, still?
I don't know, man. He got his ring last year. He's probably done.
I don't know. I'm not a real big NBA guy, man.
To wrap up some NBA talk.
Oh, shit. Darren Collison.
Oh, okay.
George Hill, too, was on that team.
That's what I was thinking. I couldn't remember if he was on that team or not. But, yeah, that's
bless
who they traded.
Him.
Squad.
Bless him. Trade him. Give me Kawhi Leonard, who now apparently is never going to play basketball again.
Stop it.
No, it makes me so sad. Anyway,
what were
we talking
about? NBA? Joe?
I completely lost track of it.
Was it about Donovan?
No, I was like, it's actually something other than about Donovan. Oh, it was shout out to the guy who's had the greatest career. Everybody wants to argue Jordan and LeBron. Fine, take that argument about who's the greatest. The greatest career, though, the finesse king, Joe Johnson. Shout out to him. He's made over $210 million in his career.
Still in the league.
Been bought out multiple times. He just got his contract
celebrated
bought
out again.
These are the places this man has been paid millions of dollars to live. Atlanta, Miami, New York, mm-hmm. Boston, now Houston. I mean, like, yeah, he had to kick it in Utah and Sacramento for a little bit. But like, he might be the highest paid player that keeps getting picked up, and he never catches criticism.
Dude, it's crazy because like he keeps getting picked up and he keeps having all this run.
Phoenix,
and he's been in the league for under 20 years.
Brooklyn,
now?
Yeah.
He said New York. Yeah, it was on there. So, yeah. Hey, so he does have a team now. Or he does.
Yeah, he's on the Rockets. He's in Sacramento. He was part of the trade between Utah and Sacramento.
Shout out to the journeyman himself.
Dude, so like, I don't know when this started being a thing, and I need to look into it, and I'll try to before next podcast because it would be interesting to talk about. I think it's crazy how you've now got two levels of free agency in the NBA. You've got free agency, trade deadline, then after the trade deadline, veterans can get their contracts bought out, and then you can pick them up for like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Like it's how Cleveland has bolstered their roster at the last minute, which we can't not discuss Cleveland.
The Cleveland trade? Oh, yeah.
The Cleveland grenade.
I loved it.
I do, too.
To be honest with you, yeah.
They're playing right now, by the way.
I think it was smart. I think it did the best thing for if you're trying to bring back LeBron or if you've given up on the notion that LeBron's coming back.
It balanced it because they didn't have to give up that first-round pick.
They've still got Brooklyn's
still got
back.
It, and they got a couple of young pieces in exchange. Rodney Hood's still – he's, like, 3 years in.
Yeah.
George Hill, I think – has a lot of game left. He just was sort of wasting away in Sacramento. He can also play. He can also shoot, which they don't have a lot of on that team right now. Larry Nance goes back home to where his daddy played.
This will be the first time that he can wear his dad's number because it was retired in college at Wyoming.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So
pretty awesome. So,
You know, I just think it's crazy. And it's
Jordan
another,
Crawford, that was the other one.
Yeah, Jay Crawford, Derrick Rose.
I mean,
Derrick Rose's career is just done, and I hate to say that because he really was an exciting player to watch in his prime, but
he fell off so quickly.
Man, that's why you got living that moment.
Quickly. Yeah,
but
if I had told you after his MVP season that he would never ever be the same after that, I mean, it ended up being a journeyman within 2 years.
The knees,
it's nuts.
Yeah, I think the other thing about him. When he took that time off from the team and talked about how he didn't know if mentally he wanted to come back, I mean, Luke's talked about that. The rehab process, that's why a lot of guys just stop the dream of, like, you know, because for a lot of guys, they get these nagging injuries even when they're trying to work out for teams. You know, Mike Mayer is another example. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what, I'm going to get into coaching because I can't mentally go through rehab again. And I get that completely.
Dude. I mean, to fight all the way back, like Kobe, I think in his prime, I mean, in his career, it was just like Achilles, shoulder, like everything. He's like, dude, again, I got to go through another year.
And that's why I'm worried about DeMarcus Cousins, like, ever being,
Achilles,
being the same
said,
player.
They
because
said you're not the same guy after the Achilles tears.
Nope. And that sucks for him because he was going into contract year.
That sucks, man.
This was his opportunity to get paid, get the hell out of New Orleans.
God, he's – Let's he's hope. Such a beast of a player. I mean, as much as I hated him in college, you know, dude is one of the top three. Maybe the top three post players in the NBA are probably all UK products, which is what it is. But I love watching all of them play. They're all sick, and it just sucks to see a young man go down, frankly, in his prime, right before he was about to get paid probably by a contender. So,
yeah, that was my thing because I didn't know, you know. I think the craziest thing now is that we can see that Cleveland's kind of given up. And they're stacking their roster.
To hell with this.
Well, they're stacking their roster so that if LeBron James wants to go Ultimate Warrior in the playoffs like he's done so many years, he can get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. But
he
there's
the finals of that roster, I think. We need to see how it gels.
Before and after that trade, I still thought if LeBron went LeBron, they could still get to the finals.
Right.
But neither before nor after were they beaten Golden State.
No,
so now
nobody's contending in the West. Nobody in the East is contending with the West. Nobody.
No.
You got to get Golden. You got to knock Golden State off before they get to the finals.
And Boston, man, Boston's going to be really fun to watch in the next couple years because they're going to have cap flexibility. They're going to have a ton of guys, different parts that they can move. They've got the Lakers pick next year in the draft. Danny Ainge just keeps winning, man. That trade day that he did, the draft day trade where he swapped the number one pick, the number three and the number one with Philly,
yeah,
and then got next, you know, this year's pick from the Lakers, and then they dealt Brooklyn's pick. Well, Brooklyn's
Philly
having a better season.
Markelle Fultz.
Well, not just that. He still got Jason Tatum at three, who he
sure
said they would have picked at one.
Yeah.
And now he traded away Brooklyn's pick, where they're surprisingly playing better. So the Cavs are looking at drafting somewhere 8-12 as opposed to 1-5.
No doubt.
And
yeah,
now they have the Lakers pick, which will be 1-4. It's insane to me how he keeps pulling that off.
That's part of it with Ainge, though, man. He understood that
he's
the two guys that were being debated for the number one pick, it's like, I don't really want either of them. So give me the third pick. You guys do what you're going to do, and I'll end up with the guy I was going to draft anyway.
Who was number
like,
two this year?
Jason Tatum?
No, Tatum was three.
No, it was Alonzo.
Yeah.
I just think I laugh at the fact that Philly has a player on every team for like the past 4 years. It ends up being hurt for the year. They all come back the second year.
They're figuring it out. They're yeah, still figuring out how to get a little better every year.
It started with Nerlens. Then it was Embiid. Then it was Simmons. And now it's Markelle Fultz.
Imagine if Markelle Fultz ends up being anything.
Trust the process.
Trust the process, baby.
Let's get to Louisville basketball. I know
we'll circle back around.
Let's circle back around. We got veered off by the NBA, but that's fine. Shout out Donovan Mitchell, who is now a member of the dunk contest for the 2018 NBA All-Star Game, which is next Saturday night. We will be playing North Carolina at that time, so just try to, you know.
Of course.
You know, of course, Louisville fans can't have anything nice this year.
And so, then I'll be on postgame.
Yeah, just flip it back and forth for see what you can do about that. Have two TVs set up, whatever you need to do. But, you know, put the Louisville game on your phone.
We have to record it. We're all missing it. Yeah, it's because the game's at 8:15.
You know what? I'll be at the studio where we got multiple televisions.
There you go.
See, there you go.
There you go. So
there
we'll do that. Let's get to Louisville. So on Monday, Louisville looked to end a two game skin against Syracuse. And me and Biscuit talked last week on the show about how we needed to win that game and really couldn't afford to lose. And like Louisville should have enough to win that game. And narrator voice, they did not. So Louisville took a loss to a team that only plays six guys,
and they
let the guards. And me and Biscuit talked about how we cannot let Syracuse guards dominate that game. And Frank Howard, Tyus Battle, and Brissett, they all scored in double figures, and they all ruled that game. And it was pretty tough. So Biscuit, your initial thoughts, because me and you were both at the game. I was covering the game. You were in the stands, and spectating it. I walked off the court. I looked right up at you, and you were just like still sitting there, just like, dude.
I didn't leave my seat for a little bit.
Yeah, you sat there for a minute. I'm like, oh, no.
I wasn't angry during the game at all. I was frustrated.
And Joe did postgame,
by the way.
And
at the end, I was still frustrated. You know what I mean? I was just still sitting there like kind of processing. One of the things about this team, it's been a theme kind of that we figure things out, it seems like, and then we don't. Like, we forget the lesson almost immediately. Like Ding figured out what he was doing for like a three-game stretch there, became the best small forward in the country. Average like 20 points, you know, six rebounds for like a three, yeah, for like a three-game stretch, and we looked like a really good team. And then all of a sudden, it looked like Ding forgot what he was doing. Same thing happened against Syracuse. Mm-hmm. First of all, we should know how to attack that zone already. We've been playing them for 15 years now.
The zone has been,
with the exception of 1 year,
nothing to us.
And we have always figured out. We've owned Syracuse for the most part. We've always figured out how to attack the 2-3.
There's
soft spots in the middle, the high post, essentially. You get there, you make shots, you make them honest, they pull off the baseline, and that's open too.
And
it's not that hard to figure out. We figured that out near the end of the game, right?
And I asked you last night, I said, how do you beat the zone? And you said, well, easy. And we went through how to do it.
Yeah, we did.
That's what I think is so frustrating, and that's where we're starting to get to with for me personally, with Padgett, where it's not that he's worn out his welcome by any stretch of the imagination. I don't want to give that impression off. It's just maybe now I'm starting to see, okay, dude, it's February. Why aren't you getting this adjustment down? And I have trouble understanding how our coach, and I'm not taking a knock at him, I truly just don't understand how this, of all things, would be an issue. considering what style of player he was, being such a good passer, being one of the guys who, like, really helped Rick design his blueprint for how to own Jim Boeheim.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Ellis Miles, he built on what Ellis did mm-hmm. against the we played Syracuse once with Ellis, I believe.
No.
But who did we play that ran all the zone in the Big East?
David Paget.
We were in the Big East.
Conference USA.
We were in the Big East.
Conference USA? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the point center. That was Ellis. Well, who ran it? And it wasn't Memphis. I know damn sure it was Memphis. It could have been.
I don't remember off the top of my
head. Either way, like, you know, that was kind of Rick's thing, and he did it perpetually. I just don't understand how David doesn't think to go to that. It's kind of like we'll get to today's game. I don't understand why it's February and out of necessity due to injury, are we just now learning that we're better with two guards than two wings, or we're more efficient on offense? I don't want to say better.
Well, it's weird, and I can't say that it's not. He doesn't prepare because he was one. We looked like we've never been better prepared against Virginia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To attack their pack line, and Syracuse is a much more simple defense to defeat. I mean, that soft spot right in the middle near the free throw line, you hit a couple of jumpers from there, or you at least make them honest. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing running that high-low at the end of the game. We figured it out. That's what I was getting to. We figured it out with like 6 minutes left,
yeah.
And we scored 12 straight points in the paint.
Right.
And we were unstoppable, right? At that point, it was like, oh, we finally got the game. It took us long enough.
When we got it down to two, I felt really confident.
We got it down to two, and then we started jacking up threes again.
Yeah.
I don't get it. We didn't have it that night. We're 3 of 19, and we're starting to jack up threes again.
You know what
I don't
it
get
was?
It
looked like we got it under control, and then some guys on the team said, okay, I need to get mines right now.
I hate to think that way, though,
because
I've seen them play so well together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I just don't understand how that clicks with, like, 3.5 minutes left in the game when we finally get on the doorstep of victory, and they're like, nah.
Yeah, and Padgett has been around for a lot of those Syracuse wins.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know how to do this, right? But I don't know, Joe.
He was there at the birth of our Big East run.
Hell yeah.
And he was there as an assistant coach for the last 3 or 4 years on staff.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the front end of that losing skid was rough. The last two games, it's hard to get really – I mean, I'm going to enjoy the wins because I'm just going to enjoy the wins. And like I've been adamant all year, just enjoy the good stuff when it comes. All
right.
And don't pick it apart and don't be afraid to enjoy something because they may be few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to say that you figured anything out when the competition is Georgia Tech and Pitt. You know, those are not good teams. Georgia Tech, you can even make the argument they may have been distracted the other night getting the news about Josh Pastner 2 hours before tip-off. I thought the timing of that was just bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's no real good timing, but it just seemed like a weird thing to get out the moment it did. I don't know, what do you guys think about today's game and the Tech game?
Well, let's go to Tech real quick because, let me ask you this. What was the narrative on postgame? Because I didn't get to hear it on Monday after the Syracuse loss. Just give me an overall tone, which I understand was negative, but.
Just that, like, I think people are starting to hold Padgett a little more accountable.
Right.
You know, people are still blaming the same people. Some other people that never get criticized, and I'm not sure why, continue to skate. You know, it was a tough night to really, like, you know, like trying to pick a defensive player of the game in that game. How, you know, I mean, like, nobody stood out. Honest had, I think we had two steals and one block for the game as a team.
Which game are you talking about?
Syracuse,
yeah.
And Ray got the block and a steal, so I said, I guess he's your defensive player of the game. You know, McMahon got killed. And that was something that I kind of hit on after the Syracuse game, is that this is why, for everybody who says Brian should be getting more minutes, well, yeah, in the right matchup.
Right.
Because Syracuse was just going after him like the buffet was open.
Yeah, they knew. I think a lot of the frustration was Wara being a great three-point shooter, not getting in the game as much, not nearly as much as he should have been. Substitution patterns, like sticking with Q and Dang way too long. VJ not having a great game. VJ started off high. I think he had 8 straight points, and then, you know, nothing.
So. I'm glad to see Wara getting minutes now because we see what kind of explosive scorer he is. And, frankly, when he plays more minutes, he gets more confident on defense. He's not a good defensive player, But against Georgia Tech, he was very active defensively. I mean, he had active hands. He got some steals. You know, he got in there. He's long enough to cause problems as long as he's not out of position. That's really the problem with him, is make sure he's not out of position. But he gives us so much offensively that it's hard to – I can't imagine him going – especially with how well we played. I know we played shitty teams, but we played so well today offensively, and the ball moved so well. You have to hold Wara and Perry over some of these veterans' heads at times, especially Ding, who's been watching the last couple of games, mm-hmm. and say, look, we don't have to play you. We don't have to play you. We've got guys that are hungry, and they can score. So you better go. You better step up. I mean, Perry is doing exactly what we hoped he would do from the beginning right now, is that he's a slasher, gets in the paint, and he distributes. And if you better be ready for the ball at all times when he's in there.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with that. You know, I would just tell Dang and VJ, pull them in and tell them, and maybe throw Jordan Wara in with this group and say, if y'all are going to play the exact same game, you're going to have to, like, compete for the exact same minutes. Because I'm going to bring out guys that are going to bring other things to the floor. At this point in the season, I'm not trashing him. I'm just pointing out the obvious. VJ King does absolutely nothing to make his teammates better. It's frustrating.
He played well
year.
Today, but you're right.
He has not consistently done anything to improve the team around him. And there were a couple of times on the break, man, he'd get the ball and he never even considered. One play in the second half when he had Q wide open in the corner, he never even considered doing anything other than going straight to the 10.
Oh yeah,
and that stuff, it drives me crazy. And that's why I say we got to have two guards out on the court, because if you've got two guys that are out there trying to get theirs every opportunity and they're flat out black holes.
Yeah.
If VJ's not on, he's Carmelo Anthony without the offense.
Yep.
Which means he's not a good player on the court. And Dang to the same, you know, Dang will at least pass the ball a little bit more, but I think he's got less than his turnover ratio is bad. I'll say that it's damn near 1-to-1. Ryan McMahon's, his turnover to assist ratio, he's getting about 3 turnovers to every 4 is the way it would. So for every 4 assists you get out of Ryan, he's turning the ball over 3 times.
I feel like that's probably
– it's high with everyone on the team.
But, like, it's like 2 games, I feel like, with Ryan that really drove that up. But, I mean, I hear you, man. It may be. I'm not, Ryan's – especially lately, Ryan's had issues with ball security. He has. But one of the subtle differences with – it feels like we've seen when Dang decides to pass the ball and be that type of player, how good he can be. I don't think we've seen that ever with VJ. But VJ is, when he's on, the best finisher on the team.
Right.
Like today, he had a couple
huge finishes,
sometimes in traffic. Mm-hmm. When he's confident, he looks great, but he's never going to kick the ball out.
I just think that when Donovan Mitchell was having an off-game shooting, he would do all the other things, rebounds, assists, steals. VJ, when he has trouble shooting, he kind of just – keeps trying to shoot the ball.
Like Q the other night, Q had a couple of up until today.
Right.
Q had, I think, 3 bad shooting games in a row, essentially, and it doesn't surprise me that 2 of those were losses. But in one of those, he had 7 assists and 1 turnover going into halftime. And then the second half, you know, he didn't play that much. Right. And we just kind of played out the string against the bad Georgia Tech team. But, like, today, he comes out and he makes a couple baskets, 5 assists. You know, like, he does other things when he's not shooting.
Yeah.
And you can see that's how Perry is going to be now. Once he's figured it out, he had 7 assists today. He didn't even look for his own shot, which is kind of what I've been hoping. You know, we talked about this earlier in the season, that first game when he hit 3 3-pointers, I thought was the worst thing that happened to him. Because the next couple times he got minutes, he settled for the 3-pointer. And we're like, no, that's not the player you are. Not saying you can't hit an occasional 3-pointer, but you need to hit that in the flow of the offense. Your first and second options are drive and score, or drive and kick.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in the same caliber. I think he should enjoy Darius Perry next year, because it wouldn't surprise me if he had a Terry Rozier type of ascension where he just busts his ass. And then when Q's out, I don't want to say out of the way, but when there's not a senior point guard that has played 39 minutes in a game multiple times,
right,
you get him out from in front of you, I think sky's going to be the limit for him. I think he's in that same mold of Donovan and Terry as far as, like, just intense work ethic.
The thing that bothers me the most is that David Padgett, pretty much after Ellis Miles, he was like the catalyst for the point center guy, the guy who kicks it back out and finds an open shooter.
He was the definition of it.
Exactly. And these guys here, I mean, now the Ray scoring, don't get me wrong, but honest, sometimes he does not It's not going to kick, but I'm just going to shoot a hook shot, and if it doesn't go, it doesn't go. But, you know, hey.
That ugly, man, that one hook shot he's got where it's basically like a Dirk Nowitzki move where, yeah, like, he looks like a rag doll falling down a mountain.
I said Bambi just, like, flailing in the wind or whatever when he jumps in the air. But,
let's what get about him against, what's his name from Syracuse? That was some of the ugliest post play I've ever seen in the first 5 minutes of the game.
It was
game.
A rock fight, dude. A
couple giraffes
And I sat next to a Syracuse Orangeman guy, blogger or whatever, and he was just like, I'm so surprised we're doing this right now. I'm completely shocked that we're competing.
I think we have a couple of Syracuse people on the Twitters, and I think they were just as surprised as him.
Yeah. So let's get to Georgia Tech real quick. Like Joe was alluding to earlier, the 2 hours before the game, we learned that a sexual harassment suit was filed against head coach.
Assault,
of the,
wasn't it?
What's that? I said suit, right?
You said harassment. It was assault, wasn't it?
That's true.
Sorry. Okay, so,
I read in the affidavit would qualify as assault.
It's assault.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it was an assault. Sexual assault suit. There you go.
Sorry, man. Jesus. Just making sure we're talking about the right thing.
I was on the way to the game when it broke, so I still haven't got the full story. I just read the documents that were unsealed. I'm like, oh my gosh. But Josh Patton was accused of sexual assault by a lady, and the details are a little bit graphic. Let's just put it like this. Pastner's got some explaining to do if it's true, but he did make himself available after the game, and he said that it was completely false, and he used like untrue a whole bunch of times. Whatever he said in the post game, he used the same words over and over. But his team played like they really didn't give a shit, regardless if people got accused of it or not. Ben Lammers, who torched us last year, didn't really show up. Koji was the only guy that really did some damage. But Louisville, without Dan Goodell, did well in that game. I know it was a blowout, and we didn't really put a lot of stock into it. It was just something to get us off the snide. But it felt good to win and in that three-game losing streak. You guys want to add anything before we get to today's game?
You know, it's Georgia Tech, and it's Josh Pastner, the Prince of March. So there's not really like a whole lot to really.
What'd you call him, Joe?
The Prince of March. I forgot who coined that. That's not mine. But
every time I see him, I think he just tells really bad fart jokes. Like. Everything is knock, knock, and then he just
looks
farts.
Like the Lost Savage Brother.
No, dude. He looks. That little sawed off prick.
Savage.
That sawed off prick lives in a tree and he bakes cookies. A little Keebler elf looking ass boy.
Every time I see him, I just want to like. He just seems like the frat brother that you just hate. Like, he always does dumb things.
Well, he doesn't have to be a frat brother, just the person you hate. Like, Bill Marcus.
Listen, Bill, Joe just caping for the fraternities.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, why?
He got mad as hell. Joe's upset now. Sorry, Joe. Mad online.
Man, that Josh, I don't cuss on here very much, but that fucking guy has to like continuously move that way. Because if he doesn't like constantly move, 500 people are trying to form a line to punch him in the face.
Like, we all don't like Josh Pastner, but to the accusations, we have no idea.
Yeah, no.
And
no
I'm
comment.
Not going to speak to it. I'm not going to speak to it. It was a long time ago. Only he knows. Like, it's essentially between them. And I hope that if justice is served, no matter whatever the truth is, that's what.
Yeah.
Frankly, we have no comment because there's absolutely nothing we can say.
Whatever the case, just hope that the truth comes out and then whoever's guilty gets.
Whatever. If he did it, send it out unscathed. Yeah. If he didn't, whatever. It's not our situation.
Let the truth ring.
Exactly. Let the truth ring.
So today continued the ass kicking tour. Louisville went up to Pittsburgh and pretty much made it Louisville's bird like we've been doing for the past 12 games we played Pitt, and we won 94-60, 34-point blowout. And we already talked about it a little bit, but the assist today, 23 assists by Louisville. Louisville shot 63% in both halves, 52 behind the arc. And 76% behind the free throw line. We had five guys in double figures. And the Lance Thomas fouled out 9 minutes of play.
Wait, time out. 9 minutes of play, he fouled out?
Yeah. Yes. He had one.
I knew he was at three. I didn't even notice he fouled out.
Nah, we were looking his stats up when he got the fourth foul. We're like, oh, dude, he's 0-for-1. It was a 3-point shot, so that's a bad shot. Two turnovers, four fouls in 5 minutes of play. And he had another good stat in
there,
too.
He still doesn't touch Terrence Farley. What, he got five fouls in a minute 45? He got fouled out for the end of the game, and Garcia went over and started fanning him with a towel.
I remember he fouled out in an exhibition game once. So I was incredible. Like, ow.
Terrence Farley. Lance, you got a little bit of ways to go before you Terrence, baby.
Hey, goat.
We're enjoying this win because
fouled out in a minute 45.
We're enjoying this win because last time we saw Pitt, their coach had made some very funny comments to him on the sideline. So shout out to Kevin Stallings. Here's for you, buddy. This is for you, Kevin Stallings.
Man, last seen tending bar in Scranton, PA. No wonder he took the Pittsburgh job.
Right, Kevin from the office is having a less than stellar season. But
Kevin Stallings is the scene where Kevin from the office brings the chili in.
Yes, dude. So
his body language today. I mean, we touched on it earlier.
We beat him all times, every of the time.
Dude, like he just his body language was so horrible. Like, oh god,
he even coach.
Here's the thing: he was decent at Vanderbilt. He was decent. I mean, he had him in the tournament
SEC,
a couple times,
baby.
But then he got to Pitt after they. Still, I don't have an excuse for why they got rid of Jamie Dixon, who was doing well at TCU.
He left. And went to TCU. They didn't fire him.
That was his alma mater, wasn't it?
Yeah, TCU's his alma mater.
But did Pitt like not put up a fight to keep him at all?
I don't think they put up enough of a fight, but they didn't get rid of him. Yeah. I think he left on his own volition.
He's not gonna go.
Yeah, at the time, everybody thought Kevin Stallings was a great hire. You know, like
no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
No, sorry, even if you're being sarcastic, I still had to.
Yeah, they trashed.
No, they
can't
didn't.
Let me have any fun, man.
they trashed
can't
the hell out of
nothing.
Sorry, man. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's dead now.
No, it's not.
The joke is dead.
No, yeah,
but there, buddy.
I mean, when Kevin Stallings was hired at Pitt, the entire college basketball world was just like, "What?"
Yeah.
Hired to do what? Is he gonna be like, you know, oversee like basketball operations or something? He's not coaching, is he?
Stallings was good at Vandy for a while, but he had really fallen off at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
It had a couple of bad seasons, and it became kind of a joke.
I just think your all standards are too high. Kevin Stallings is a fine coach.
Well, I hope they keep him forever.
Steward of the game as well.
Yeah, well, any thoughts on the game today, fellas? Like I said, we had a blowout win on Thursday, and then we followed up with a even bigger win today, 34 points, and the team shot well. But the next five games, there are no more Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, or Pitt on the schedule. It is all business. Starting on Saturday against North Carolina. So, do you take anything away from this game other than the win and the good play of, like, Perry?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think all three of the freshmen played well today, you know, at different times. Wara looked great. Malik hit 4 three-pointers today or three. I think it's 4, actually. See, we needed that during the Joe Johnson segment. I think that's like the definition of the time when you need the air horn is Joe Johnson.
Sorry, I'm still learning.
No, but Darius Perry looked great. We already really touched on most of this. Quinn played fine, played well, really. Yeah. Before he was benched for largely most of the second half because we didn't need him. VJ finished well. There's nobody that played today that played poorly. Well, honestly, even like limited minutes. Everybody looked fine.
Let me ask you this, both of you, and neither one of you can answer.
Pitt's so bad.
Pitt's terrible. don't get me wrong. They're the worst team.
They're one of the worst Power 5 teams I've ever seen.
They're now 0-13, and that's saying a lot because I think Mike Rutherford put out there today, like, I watched DePaul play a couple years, and DePaul was like the king of 6-21 every year, 6-28 or whatever it was.
To be fair, even though they're terrible, we still jumped 9 spots in the RPI after we beat them down. So it's a road win. You know what I mean?
Not rule anything out. I mean, you know,
but you know, what I mean? Like, yeah, it's better than losing. Winning by 34 on the road in conference is better than losing.
Well, I hate to ask this question.
Big if true, I know. But
they're like prison toilet wine, man.
Damn it, Joe. It's Merlot.
How you know about that?
Like, it's alcohol. It's Merlot. But you don't really. Like, it's ACC basketball, but you don't want it.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Sad what happened to the Oakland Zoo, man.
Yeah.
Used to be something.
I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Before the game, they were deep and they were rowdy a little bit. They were, you know, two kids chanting FBI. Like, when we were up by 30, that was really nice.
Yeah, I saw about 7 kids that looked like engineering majors. Didn't have anything better to do on a Sunday afternoon.
And so one guy was like, why the hell they call it Oakland Zoo? It's not even close to Oakland, California. I'm just like, never mind.
All right, buddy.
Just sit
the next few out.
Yeah. But anyway, here's the question I had. Now that we've seen the team play well the last two games, especially passing the ball, sharing the ball, playing team ball on Saturday when North Carolina comes to town, I'm assuming that Dangadel's going to play, and that has been an issue when he's in the game. Not to bash the kid, I'm not trying to do that, but it is apparent if you have eyes that
you feeling the Ewing theory a little bit.
I mean, well, that's what I'm asking you guys. Am I crazy?
Feeling the what theory?
The Ewing theory. It was big in New York when I lived there. essentially whenever Ewing was hurt or sidelined, team played better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at Georgetown, too, sometimes. Yeah. But especially with the Knicks. Sometimes it's largely a fallacy, usually, with great players. But I think with Ding, it's not that we're better without him. It's that we're better without the way he's playing right now. You know what I mean? Like, if he plays like he did during that three-game stretch, there's no doubt we're much better with him. He's the most talented player on the team, or one of the three most talented players on the team.
Right.
When he's in the zone and when he's playing unselfish basketball, mm-hmm. I'll ride or die with the kid. But, yeah. You know, you got to look for your teammates, man. And we've shown the last couple of games that we've got options.
Yeah, I mean, we have, like I said, everybody's like, where's all the shooters on the team? Like, well, you never see him because one or two guys are taking all the shots. I'll never forget that play in the Florida State game where Dang bypassed a wide open Malik Williams under the basket to drive on three guys and miss a shot and miss one or two free throws. But it's, you know, when a team's playing well and they're in a rhythm and they're sharing the ball, it is a thought of mine, like, when Dang gets back, man, you know, do we go back to our old ways in the next five games? Because these next five games are crucial for Louisville's tournament resume.
I think what you'll see is he's going to start when he comes back.
All right.
But the hook might be quicker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you might actually see him get pulled in the first 5 minutes for a Jordan Wara, you know?
Well, and funny you say that, because I don't know if you watched my interview with Jordan Wara, but I asked him, like, you know, was it practice that you weren't playing practice tendencies? He's like, honestly, I don't think it was that. He's like, I have no idea why I wasn't playing these last couple of games. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's troubling to hear.
They've had his reasons.
Who knows what it was.
You
can't sit him now.
No.
You can't sit
He's made it so you cannot sit him.
Yeah, the past three games, even against Syracuse, he played well. He played well on Thursday. He played even better today. You cannot sit him now. If you do, you got some explaining to do.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine.
Go ahead.
Well, here's some of the little stuff that I picked up on today that really bothered me. Like, they really do just irritate me about VJ, and I've watched Dang do it as well. Ball goes up, and he's already sprinting past half court because he wants to try to get a breakaway dunk, not crashing the boards.
Yeah.
Jordan, a lot of times, and this happens with Keo a lot as well, and Darius is quick enough that he can recover. But a lot of times it looks like guys miss their man, and it's because they were actually switching or rotating over to try to you know, narrow a gap because somebody else is out of position on defense. And they're actually doing what they're supposed to do. They're just getting beat because that's the point behind the play they're defending. You can't take him off the court, but at the same time, man, we've seen why Ryan and Jordan don't get a lot of minutes, and it's strictly because of their defense.
Yes.
It's not because they can't fill the bucket. So, I mean, you give them running. You try to get an open look for them. But if they're not – if they're out on the court, you need to be comfortable with the idea that, worst-case scenario, you're going to be exchanging baskets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, granted, his defense isn't great. You can't keep him on the bench. But
I think he's more active the last couple of games, though. I think he's been in position to make plays more so the rest of the season.
And don't get me wrong, dude. This system that we run on defense, it's not easy to do. It's like you go from – full press to matchup zone to this three. I mean, it's different calls they make during the game. So I can see why he may have trouble with that. But even with that being said, I didn't understand him sitting three games, especially when we could have used some shooting. But now that's over with, hopefully he stays on the court and contributes because our bench can do it. And, you know, I don't know if Malik Williams goes back to being on the bench. I mean, being in the starting lineup now because he has started that way for the past couple of games. But past two games, but now that Dang will be back on Saturday, hoping that his ankle's okay. I'm hoping it doesn't keep.
Well, here's the thing: he was in a pretty big walking boot. You know, he was.
Yeah.
In a, I and it, David kind of had two different. Before the game, he said, "You know, it sounded kind of like it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, and we'd get him back by Saturday." And then after the game, it was like, "We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see." So it's one of those things where. I don't think David's not too schooled in how to talk to the media about injuries, I don't think, and he's just kind of saying the truth.
Bill Belichick, man.
Right?
We don't know.
So he's not quite as cagey maybe as a veteran coach, and we might have heard more than we probably should have after the game. So who knows if we'll have Ding on Saturday. I'm not going to speculate because I don't know anything.
Sounds good.
But
I'm doing Belichick. We don't know.
Sounds good. Don't speculate anymore. Why'd you shut up, Biscuit?
He plays. That's all that matters. If he plays, I'm going to put
him out. Why do you care about our injuries? Like, I don't know, Bill. Why don't you go shake somebody else's hand with your dead fish grip?
I deal with the dead fish grip.
I don't like Bill Belichick. Anyway, but
go Jets.
You done over there?
Go ahead.
Ding Adell's injury, I mean, we might see him on Saturday. If he comes back, like I said earlier, I expect him to start, probably.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. But, you know.
Hopefully he'll – I mean – honestly, you shouldn't need Dingadale or any of the starters to beat Pitt. That's how bad they are this year. So, like I said before the game, so I'm like, if we need Dingadale to beat Pitt, we're in more trouble than I thought we were. So, I would expect him to get more rest. I wouldn't expect to put him on the court earlier than he needs to be. So, today was like pretty much, I mean, I can't really take a lot of in a 34-point win, so I'm trying to squeeze as much as I can out of it.
Well, we could talk about, you know, we can thank Bobby Crimmins for waking up from his cryo sleep to
shout out to Georgia Tech.
Oh my God, man! So did y'all hear when he went on his favorite, the best players on our team?
Yeah. Essentially, he needs to. He wants everybody to start.
Everybody except our starters. He didn't name Q, Ray.
Well, I think he was going through the precursor to that was that he was going through the bench. He said he liked the bench a lot.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You gotta have this and that, and apparently in the first 30 seconds of the I'm watching the game, and the first 30 seconds he talks about how Ray comes off the bench usually because of foul situations. And I was like, Bobby, what? What did you just say?
Bobby didn't take his notes right.
I'm just tired of these broke ass ACC network announcers. If you're gonna give
Bobby
me ACC, Crimmins. If you're gonna give me ACC network announcers, give me Mike Gamansky.
Who's his sidekick that refers to Jaminski as his, hey, what do you think about that play, G-Man?
G-Man.
I love that. And then Jaminski's like, well, you know, it was, and I look up, you remember Jaminski, when I looked up his old, the pictures of him, like, all throughout his career and the evolution of the G-Man?
Yeah.
He's been, like, the brawny man. He's been a
Earring man.
He's been sensitive Carl. He's been the – Or he's been cool Todd, the your mom's new boyfriend. He's been the guy that looks like the side member of an old episode of Miami Vice. Like, he has gone through the full gamut. He just loves life.
Yeah, well, good for him, man.
I wish I had the range he does, you know?
I knew it was bad for the ACC when they had Tequila Spice calling the football game. I was just like, what the
man,
hell? Are we
dude.
Just giving out checks now?
They're just like, did you used to coach basketball?
Or play?
You can announce. Did you used to play football? Boy, howdy, can you announce? Come on down. We got a job for you.
Tequila Spice is calling this game today?
I'll tell you.
The hell?
I'm angry that, like, I guess his contract finally expired, but when ESPN had to cut back NASCAR, and they just, like, axed that hole. That's when they put Party Marty.
Party Marty.
Party Marty.
Like, everywhere. But the other highlight, like, setting Party Marty out, like, loose on you know, the world was great. But Brad Daugherty on the call for
goodness.
The ACC night. Man, Sunday night ACC matchups were appointment television.
Goodness.
That first year. Because at one point I heard that redneck sumbitch say, he said the following lines. I mean, you can throw puppies in the oven, but that don't make them biscuits, you know what I mean? And he had another famous one. Whoo, buddy, he hotter than catfish frying on the creek bed.
I miss Kaminsky. That's the bottom line.
If we had Brad Daugherty and G-Man together.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's doing play-by-play?
Yeah. Dave Pashel.
You know who's doing it. Brad.
Ain't nobody doing play-by-play.
They're just talking, man. Just two bros having a Bartles and James.
The Bartles and James. G-Man with his Bartles and James.
G-Man's drinking whatever Locke's having. And Brad's over there like drink, you know. What would Brad Daugherty be drinking?
Milwaukee's best. Nah, he's a Southern boy. Let me give him.
That doesn't mean he don't drink the Beast.
That's true.
He'll drink the Beast.
I know it ain't Slit Malt Liquor or anything like that.
Bush. Bush Light.
There you go.
You know my favorite craft beer? It's Rollin' Rock. Sure, Brad.
Sam Adams, man. You fancy, huh?
Oh, man.
Dude, Bobby Crimmins, man. Anyway.
Bobby Crimmins. Where'd they dig his old ass up?
I mean, God love him, but he showed up. You know he hadn't done any research.
Dude. He like, looked.
This
he had
guy,
white,
this guy.
He had white hair when Stephon
right.
Marbury played
yeah,
there.
The hair has been white for a while. He's like Bob Baffert a little bit. You know, the
right.
White
like Phil Donahue.
Like 21, he's always had white hair.
Phil Donahue.
Dude, Phil Donahue, Bobby Crimmins, and Leslie Nielsen are the same person for
they
all I know.
Same person, man. That scout I sat beside the game the other day, he had white hair. I'm like, oh, so you're only 20. Cool. That's nice.
Dude, yeah. Bobby Crimmins, man.
Yeah.
I love that somebody threw out the Mark Price comparison for Ryan McMahon. And I was like, are we
doing this?
What was the other one? There was one late where somebody compared, I think, Ray or it might have been honest to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I was like, "What are we doing here today?
It was honest.
What are we doing here today?
It's honest.
Why you gotta shoot the moon here, man?
Yeah,
can we get some humbles in here?"
I was listening to Paul Rodgers, man.
How tall is he?
Yeah, we got anybody else that's that? Kareem, that's a good one.
I can't call him Sean Bradley, but I can do Kareem. So let's go Kareem.
They're like, well, here comes Joe Griffin. He's a lot like John Stockton. They're the same size.
Him and Jeff Hornacek have the same exact form that we were not used to.
Man. Shout out to Joe Griffin. South Oldham got mentioned on the ACC Network broadcast. Hell yeah.
Shout out to Oldham.
Get him,
County,
Joe.
Man. Shout out. But yeah, Paul Rodgers, his mom passed away right before the game today.
Oh,
man. So
yeah.
He was talking about it on air today, like how, you know, they knew it may be coming soon. So shout out to Paul Rodgers, his family, thoughts and prayers from the Crunch Zone podcast and CrunchZone.com.
Consummate professional to be able to do that right after
the
news, man. But
tough, man. Tough.
Prayers for him and his family.
91. I think that's what he said. But like, yeah, prayers to his family, thoughts and prayers to his family. So. Guys, I got nothing else
treasure.
On Pitt. I mean, if it was like North Carolina, we did this too. I have a lot to talk about, but it's Pitt.
I'm gonna stay humble.
Yeah,
just be happy to get the win. Not gonna talk a lot. Not gonna be bragging, pumping my chest.
It's almost like if you listen to what we've been saying all year, if you don't overreact to every game,
exactly.
Yeah,
you're allowed to do stuff like you don't get too low after the losses, and you don't get too high after the wins.
Guys, this past year after we did
be
the Crunch
happy
Zone,
about it, though.
After doing the Crunch Zone after dark and all the extended coverage
the
that
what?
We did, the Crunch Zone
after dark.
After dark.
Doing all that stuff, I think we proved the theory that if you talk in front of a microphone long enough, you'll say something dumb.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always take us very long to do that.
It doesn't take me very long usually.
Yeah.
But next year, what we really need to do is I want to like write down and document all of our predictions. That way we can do a year in review of, God, we're dumb and why are you even listening? Because I feel like I was wrong on so many predictions
hell
for football.
Yeah.
And then in basketball, I think I thought this team was – I think in both sports, I thought the rosters just were a little more talented than they were.
I wish we could go back to August. We should play an August show that we did in August before the Purdue game.
Nah, man. Nah.
What
you doing, LJ?
Dude, every week we were like the progression in football was, I don't know, I'm going to go – I think we take it easy on them 70-20 good guys.
Yeah, man.
Louisville next week.
Louisville rolls.
You know, man, I think we should get about 50.
Yeah, you know what
3 weeks later – man, we really got to score 24 against people if we want to win.
Dude, if we don't beat Pitt, I mean, if we don't beat Wake Forest, dude, we're not going to go to the bowl. That's like with the transgression that we went through.
Thank God that wasn't true.
Dude, my gosh.
But yeah, so next year I'm gonna try to like keep track of all that. That way we can revisit.
Like put them on like a white erase board in here somewhere. I'll put them on a piece of paper and just have it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we just check through what we messed up on. But did you read my prediction piece on the schedule that I released last week? If not, it's cool. I just want
to
know.
No, I started to read it in my and I got a phone call, and thank you for reminding
cool.
me because
no
I
problem.
Haven't finished.
No problem at all. Biscuit?
Not yet.
So I wrote that we're going to lose to Alabama. I was like, it was by a hefty score.
Oh, bullshit.
Dude, I got called every name in the book, and I got fans coming to me like, oh, you're crazy, man. You think we're going to get blown that much? And then I had Des Fitzpatrick's dad personally says, okay, if you think we're going to lose by them, I don't agree with any of that. I stopped reading after I saw Alabama score. And I'm like, okay, well, sorry if I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I love your son.
Hey, man.
We're glad he's here.
Look.
And I was like, Coach, I pray I'm wrong. Coach Fitz.
Comes with the
don't
territory. Comes with territory, brother. You're all right.
So, look.
If you're going to make predictions, you're going to have people
look,
that don't
right.
like it.
If y'all out there listening, I hope we win. I hope I eat crow. I love to eat crow, especially when it's a Louisville win. So,
but what's
please.
The point in doing it if you're not going to be honest?
Right. Yeah,
I'm
mean,
not,
that's the other thing.
And I named it the Brutally Honest Prediction.
Yeah.
Well, and it's your prediction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's like that's kind of why.
It's not what you're rooting for.
That's a big reason why I kind of steered away from doing any of that sort of stuff because people
– take it the wrong way.
Would you rather me lie to you? And in some cases, yes.
I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass.
I'm sorry. I'm not – that's not like –
they're looking for that North Korea treatment, buddy.
I'm not going to do something for the sake of doing it. And, yeah, man, I'm sorry that you went through that.
No, it was cool. He wasn't malicious. It was
no,
like,
I know. It's just it's – but
people,
it's a headache.
Yeah,
of
it's
like,
people saying, like, oh, my gosh, dude, what do you see that makes you think Alabama's going to blow us up? I'm like, what do you see that makes you think they won't blow us out?
They're Alabama?
We have a new defense. Nick Saban's never lost an opener. He's always won his openers by double digits, all of them. Florida State, Southern Cal, anybody else I'm missing? Michigan. I mean, everybody he's played, doesn't matter who they are, they've got blown. Exactly.
No, man. I mean, Vegas has a lot of pretty buildings because morons bet against people like Nick Saban in
so
this world.
So the line is, what, 30 now, and it's February?
Yeah.
We have 9 new starters on defense, folks.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm probably more positive about our roster than I should be. Like, I'm pretty bullish on some of the guys we got coming in and the direction I think we're going to take as a team. I still don't – I'm not going to come out there and say we're going to beat Bama. You know what I mean? Like,
Bama!
Bama! Maybe – I mean, it doesn't mean we don't want it to happen. Like, we want to be wrong.
No, like I said, I pray I'm wrong. I'm praying I'm wrong.
It's like, man,
you can be really, really good and lose to Bama by 20. Like, really good.
Not going to lie to you. I thought the Florida game we played in the Sugar Bowl, I'm like, man, Louisville may compete. I don't know if we're good enough to win yet, but we will compete. I didn't expect any of that. And when it was a pleasant surprise that we won.
Nah, yeah. I was more positive about that game than I am about the Bama game.
I mean, Fiesta Bowl as well. Like, I mean, it's happened. It could happen. I'm not going to say it won't happen, but I will say it ain't likely.
No. And let's wrap up basketball real quick. Sorry, I got on a tangent there, but the reason I'm not really going in on Pitt so much, and I put it on Twitter today, Louisville can very well be Pitt next year and the year after that because we don't have any recruits and we don't have a permanent coach. So enjoy this win, but let's not get, like, you know, high and mighty to where we think we can't be in the same shoes as Pitt is next year with 8 wins and 20-something losses.
I'm in the boat where I'm not even thinking about it yet. Because I honestly don't think any of us know. It could be nothing. It could be neutral, you know, or minimal. It could be over the top what they do to us. And it's not going to be for a couple of years, in my opinion. So just, I know that, like, it's worth talking about, but it's also, none of us know, so it's not worth spending too much time on.
Shout out to the fact that it could be at least a year or two more before they even start the damn investigation. That's how late that is. Right now.
And there's no point just living in fear.
Yeah.
Or living in with.
Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's nothing none of us can do to stop it. Like I said, the only thing we can do is fight with our checkbooks. Like, I got the call from the U of L Alumni Association. Like, I told the girl when they called, I said, look, I know you're just doing your job, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not the person to cuss you out or whatever, yell at you. I was like, I know you're doing this just to get paid some money for school or whatnot.
I'm happy that you're doing it.
And I was like, you know, but just know that as long as those guys are in management and in the office over there, you're not going to get a dime of anything for my money. And she was like, I understand. I was like, now, fair question, ma'am. How many times do you hear that when you call? She's like, all the time, almost every call I hear the same thing.
Do you say, because this is what I asked them, I said, do you tell your superiors? Like, do you tell your tell your managers? Tell the people that are watching you?
I'm pretty sure they know. I'm pretty sure they look at what's coming in as far as donation-wise.
They know. They know what's going on, but the whole point is like.
Yeah, I get it. The whole point is like, hey, people are not happy with the job we're doing, and it's showing.
It's not just that. It's that.
It's everything.
If you were the permanent boss, then I'd probably. I mean, more people get money, honestly.
It's like,
because we can't change it so quickly.
When you go do a survey at Chick-fil-A or whoever, and you don't get the best service and they don't get the best service, they give you damn near half the store. Like, literally. Right. Like, Chick-fil-A will give you the store, the keys. Here you go. We started that the drink was too cold, sir.
It's been over a year and a half.
Yeah. Without a permanent president. I think we're at 558 days today, I think. But, teach us all, man. So, good win today. We will play North Carolina at 8:15 on Saturday. Joe will be on the post game, and he'll be joined on post game with our homeboy Patty Ice from
very
ESPN.
Nice.
ESPN Louisville. Biscuit will be at the game. I'm hoping to be at the game covering it. If not, Mark Blankenbaker will be there, and I'll be hanging with Joe, just watching the game with him and just enjoying being a fan without having to, you know, write a story afterwards.
It's a night game.
It's a night game on a Saturday.
So I'll have plenty of time to drink beer beforehand. I'm sure all my friends will too.
So if you do not have the Lyft or Uber app.
That's the only weird thing about doing the post game, man, is like watching U of L games without drinking.
Nah. I don't drink during U of L games.
Really?
I don't. I just I like to be coherent when we're winning or losing or whatever.
I'm always coherent, but I like to have a lot of beers before the home games.
Well, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that's
no. Don't you dare judge me. I'll kill you.
It's just how I do it. I just, you know. It's a habit I got into when I went to the games because I didn't want to get drunk at the games because I've seen guys get obliterated and can't make it home.
Yeah. See, that's people that can't handle their liquor.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy. So it's just hard for me to drink during the game, man. But it's each his own, you know.
No, I like to drink before the game. Absolutely, 100%. Go get a couple of Warthogs at BBC.
I really miss football season. Like, because we had, even though the season didn't go as great as we would, we had some great times at Papa John's before the games this year and after.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry, y'all. Just reminiscing.
Tailgating for football season is like one of the best things about college sports.
It is the best thing about college sports.
Being outside and having
outside of the actual sports.
Well, the home game atmosphere.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, let's transition to football since we started on it. Signing day was on, signing day part two was on Wednesday. down at the Papa John's complex. We had a signing day party. Joe, myself, and Mark Blankenbaker, and a couple other people from ESPN Louisville were there. And, we signed three guys that we really needed. Javion Hawkins was one. We had Marlon Carter, who was another DB, four-star. And finally that night, after a day of speculation, Jarius Brent signed about 7 o'clock, and he was the last person to sign with that class. So we have 23 recruits. ESPN ranks us as the number 26 class in the nation, our highest finishing ever. And then we ranked another listing as 30th, which is pretty damn good. Basically doesn't mean anything as long as you win. So, I really don't have a lot about recruiting because we already covered most of it. And you can follow.
Happy to see Jarius Brent come home.
Yeah, very happy that there was a Louisville kid, that we had a Louisville connection on there.
And I hope he thrives.
Hope he does as well. And Joe and I got to meet some of the staff that were mingling with the crowd. And one of those staff members was one guy that we roasted about 2 weeks ago. We had a great time doing it. He gave us more material this time around. Brian Van Gorder was made himself available to the crowd. And Joe, you want to take it from here, buddy?
So there we were, walking down the hallway. We'd been on an odyssey, if you will, to try to meet up with Mark and Luke. And we finally get to where we think they are. Spoiler, they weren't. And
when somebody tells you somebody's upstairs, that can mean two different things. It probably
mean anything,
because there's a couple floors on each side. So we're in west. We're in the east wing.
So I look up and I see him. He's just standing there, the stash.
Zelensky.
And we're like,
say something.
LJ's like, Joe, check it out. I'm like, hats off. So we take our hats off and look like adults.
And, we did both take. We simultaneously took our hats off at the same time. Yeah. Just like boom, hat in the pocket.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's Van Gorder.
So we introduce ourselves, and I was just trying to joke, make a joke with the guy at Peter Sermon's expense.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna get to actually see some blitzing this year. Man, LJ can tell you, like, he just looked at me like I'd asked the dumbest freaking question on earth. This is how I originally interpreted it, and then this was how other people, when I told him what happened, kind of explained it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, man, that guy just sat there, and I broke his brain because he couldn't get over how dumb of a human being I am for asking a defensive coordinator, are you going to blitz? It's like, are you guys going to tackle? Well, that's what we do on – and then I think he was thinking I was an idiot.
Yeah.
And then it clicked that that I was making fun of the other guys. So
right.
I ask him that, and he's like, yes. LJ and I are like, okay, coach.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, coach. Okay. It resembled a glitch.
Yeah, like it seriously, he was buffering for a minute.
Dick. Oh, my God.
Like just for like a minute there where I was almost like, did I break him?
Dude, for a minute there, if you've seen Get Out, you remember when like he was talking to the maid, and he's like, when I get around a lot of white people, I get scared. And she was like, and she kind of glitched a little bit, like started crying. That's what it looked like. He didn't know how to respond, but then he was like, yes.
Yeah, it was an interesting moment. But he was a really nice guy, and solid grip.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I think I still can't feel my pinky.
Right? Like, that was G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, nice guy, very energetic. So, if nothing else, I have no doubt he's going to be entertaining because, seriously, you can just tell he's a hothead.
Hey, just
and I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
You know, like, we've talked about it numerous times. You want your defensive coordinator to be a crazy hothead.
Well,
you need it.
As Biscuit said, if your coach is a little bit crazy, that means you're going to get results. And I think he's a little bit crazy the way he looked. He looked like he's a little bit off, and that he's able to smash a helmet to his head on game day. And, we wish him the best. Shout out to Kobe Smith, who tried to get the crowd pumped up by a series of dog chants that really didn't go over well.
We were going to get to that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Kobe. Oh, no.
What you doing, baby?
I was looking around. I'm like, oh, all this gray hair. Yeah. So Kobe was like, hey, y'all.
Yes, woof, woof. Yes.
Yeah, he was
like, sounded like.
That's, seriously, he's like, when I say where are my dogs at, I want y'all to go, woof.
Sounds like my dog.
Oh, man.
There was a couple of Pomeranians in there that night. There's a couple. Rip.
Rip.
Woof. I don't really get what we're supposed to be doing, Kobe. Woof.
Woof. This woof. Is fun, isn't it?
Woof.
Woof. Carol, look at me. I'm a dog. Woof.
Woof.
Mr. Colby said to say woof. Did you hear that?
I think Joe was like, I'm about to go get some more popcorn.
Yeah. Like, no, I was like, well, time to get some popcorn, man. Yeah. Let's watch this. These fools.
Kobe tried, but, you know, the gray hairs wouldn't let him be.
Now, you know who's actually, if you've never seen him talk, you know, on the coaching staff, despite the inability to take a normal-looking picture, Klonakis can work the room.
Hell yeah.
I can see why he's such a good recruiter.
Yeah.
Because he has fun with him. So he came out, talked some of the players up. Obviously, Bobby talked some guys up, talked about depth and some areas that they were focused on.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great night. I mean, like I said, we're looking forward to spring game in April. I can't believe it's like spring practice starts next month, man. So it's pretty crazy. As soon as Louisville's done with the basketball season, which is, you know, we got five regular season games, and then you got the ACC tournament, and then March Madness is less than like 60 days away. So, it's coming up pretty quickly, so you know, we'll try to keep you posted on that.
Time flies, man.
Time flies. And soon I'm pretty sure I'll be getting that student season ticket renewal form in the mail telling me it's time to pay some money
for next year. So you're excited about it, aren't you?
I am. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing us open the new stadium up. Which was a question for you, Biscuit.
What's up?
Vince Tyree gave a presser before the Georgia State game on Thursday. We didn't really touch on that at all, but I guess we can now real quick.
We need to.
Yeah, he said
I had that written down.
Good.
Yeah,
he said that the seating was not 10,000. It's actually more like 6,000. Where the hell did we get 10? Did we just kind of just...
I thought the initial expansion was the 63.5, but...
I thought it was 6,500. 65,000, I mean.
Might have been. When I heard that, I said, you know, it doesn't really affect me much either way. We're closing it in.
I'll still be in my seat.
A little note to a lot of people that are talking about this expansion, besides the fact that it's paid for, whatever. I get that the optics are bad.
Right.
One of the things that people are overlooking is that the vast majority of this expense is the expansion of the facility, and then the luxury suites of the above. The seating, the actual seating up there, is not the majority of this expense. Like, we were updating the weight room, we're updating the offices. Yeah. We're doing a ton that we have to do to stay keeping up with the Joneses.
I was going
to
say relevant.
And that's why
Bobby made sure to talk about how important all those things were and the housing for the dorms that the players live in.
It's just the expense is just as much, if not more, to the facility side than it is to the actual stadium seating.
Hey.
Well, and where I am with the stadium expansion is that I'm not a fan of anybody in this current climate expanding in the sense of, okay, you know, it's definitely going to sell out. But I'm really glad that we finally closed it in. It looks so much better, even though it's not finished. Like, LJ and I were looking at it the other day when we were there. Yeah. It finally feels like we've got a real stadium. And as silly as that sounds, I'm not knocking Papa John's, you know, it's been good to us for almost 20 years.
You're not knocking a stadium.
20, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, it's just like it never felt complete with that opening.
I like the view of the city skyline, but me and you were in the end zone the other day and we were walking around on the
felt different, didn't it?
To see it straight on ahead and you see it close in, it's like, oh, man, like –
it closes in noise. It's
and I like having Johnny up on the party.
Yeah, we have Johnny up on the party. Cool. Dripping in ice, by the way. Yeah. Dripping in ice. But to see it from that angle and to know, like, man, when Florida State, when Clemson comes, when UK comes or whatever, that ending, the noise can't escape. And
yeah.
Now it's trapped into the lower bowl. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, Tyree had some interesting tidbits in his presser.
I was fist pumping during it.
Dude,
one thing that's doing that's been awesome during the transition.
You remember on The Wire when the black guy, I forgot his name, he was going to work for mayor, but then Carcetti got
there. That really narrows it down.
And Tony Gray.
Damn it, Joe. When Tony Gray said, I'm running for mayor, Carcetti's like, yeah, you should go for it. But then Carcetti gave that speech, and he was like, sounds like you're running for something.
Yeah.
Tyree gave his speech for AD, and he won me over. I was listening on the radio on the way to the game. For one, he took a pay cut. That's one thing. For two, he was like, we need to get students down here in the seats. And he was more focused on fans and on, like, the better interests of the school.
Well, and as much as I was pissed Thursday night when I saw the student section. And I've never gotten mad at our students.
Dude.
I've never been one of those, like, I don't get mad at them, you know. But that pissed me off.
You were
disappointed. That really pissed me off because there's no excuse. None, man. We took a TARC out to Freedom Hall some games, you know, if you couldn't catch a ride. I don't want to hear that it's an inconvenience to take the TARC eight blocks down the street. No, it's free with a student ID.
Dude, it can take you straight down 2nd Street. It goes straight down 2nd Street.
That just bothered me, man. Like, that really, 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 that was just shameful and embarrassing. And
I don't understand it. And I asked, like, man, what's the deal? And some guy was like, well,
so I just thought it was, I thought it was very fitting that after Vince made that point, then that was the show out we got. And it's like, and I'm glad that we have an AD who recognizes this is a problem and we need to address
it. You got to be pissed off when you look in the student section and they have shirts down there for you and you're not putting them on. Or you're not sitting in the seats and they're just sitting there, other people come and take them. I've always been a fan of, if you're not going to use the seats, sell them, or give them to somebody who's in the upper deck who has never sat on the lower bowl and wants an up close personal view of the game. That's what I look, that's why I look at it. Like, a lot of people are like, well, when I was two section back in 1998 when I was in the Red Sea, we didn't do that. Well, no, I don't really care what happened then. I just care about right now on TV. It looks terrible.
What I think the solution to because the response that I got was, UofL students are no longer, you know, now that we recruit from outside Jefferson County, these kids are oftentimes, the students at UofL aren't even fans of UofL. That's bullshit. And
there's 20,000 students there. Right. Like, just because we're recruiting from other places doesn't mean we don't have the local kids.
Out of 20,000, but out of 20,000, you're telling me you can't fit a section of, how many are in the student
section? Guessing about 500. In that section. I think it's 500 seats. I could be wrong. It may be 1,000. I doubt it's that many.
I don't think it's that many. No.
I'm going to go ahead and say
it's 500. Between 500 and 700 total,
there you
probably.
Go.
So, no, there's no reason that you can't find that many rowdy students. And you know how you do it? You need to make it another event that when students transfer in or they come in on their freshman, you know, their freshman year, they see one of these events that they have to go to. And then it becomes – when I first got to UofL, they still did ticket camp out.
Yep.
It was an event. You got with your group of friends. Yep. That way you could get tailgated. Tickets together in the same section. Apparently that's an issue that UofL's having now where
sometimes groups get split up.
And I don't want to hear that as an excuse either, but I get how that can be annoying.
Yeah.
So you need to make it where, like, man, what we would do with our group of friends, everybody had to bring their work schedule and their class schedule. That way one person could sit down and make, okay, this is what time you've got to be in line for us holding our spot. And it became like a huge event. You'd go out and, like, they drag couches out there. You throw football around.
So you guys had generators out there, TVs going on.
Yeah,
like,
it was
sleep
great.
Out all night. Yeah, you just camp out all night trying to get the tickets. But right now,
and I guess maybe if you do that, it would help.
Well, I asked Matt. Matt graduated last year from UofL. Year before last, I think. And he was just
so
like,
young.
He is, dick. But dude, the thing is, right now, I was just like, do you think I should get the tickets for free, or just provide a shuttle? And I think general admission tickets, like, hey, here's a ticket. If you want to go to the game, come sign up. We'll give you a ticket and you just go down there. I mean, right now it's just like the ticket. People don't have money for tickets. I get it.
And then somebody said they were $5.
They're $210. They're $210 for
the season
tickets.
There you go.
Is that including football too?
No.
That's a hell of a
bargain.
That's
basketball.
Okay.
But $210 for 16 home dates.
And
that's $15 a ticket.
It's $15 a ticket.
But a little bit less. I understand if you can't go to every, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe student season tickets, and if there's not a camp out, they shouldn't be available. Honestly, I think it should be a per game thing then. You know, like,
I agree.
People aren't coming.
Or
you either get your – somebody needs to scan that ticket every game or you get to lose your ticket. You know, it'd be like if you miss 3 games in the first 10, you lose your season tickets and they go back in the general pot.
Game I've seen Gerald faithfully at every game, women's, men's baseball, and then you see like the same.
Oh, Gerald ain't missing a game.
The same cluster of students who hang out in the front of the student section. They like do all the chairs, lay all the chairs.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just them guys doing it. I mean, not knocking them at all. They do a great job. But like I always say, 6 students. I'm not joking. It's literally 6 guys. I'm not joking about that.
I mean,
I'm not.
We got a Thursday night conference home game against Georgia Tech, and I'd say there was probably a couple dozen students.
Some people like, it's finals week, Dave.
No,
it's finals week. No,
it's not.
Not in January.
No, it's not. It's the fourth week of classes. Third week of classes.
And I don't give a damn if it is finals week, man.
Right.
But actually, children, no, go to class, study hard. Don't do what I did. I had a midterm the day after we beat the bejesus out of Washington. In 2004.
You told me a story before.
The Sweet 16 game.
Yeah.
What happened, Joe?
I got like an 18 on that test.
Okay.
Like it was a history test that my buddy and I, we were really good at like getting the notes and we would just cram the night before.
Right.
And it was like 30 different events or people that this professor would give you to know about for the test.
Uh-huh.
And then he would just randomly give everybody 5 and you had to be able to write about them. And he gave me the 5 questions like that I blanked on them. And it was a period of history that I wasn't very familiar with. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If it's transportation issues, that can be fixed. If it's not transportation, it's just like, hey, we just don't want to go. That needs to be corrected, because I would hate to have those seats go to like some white haired guy.
This is the first time in my life though that I felt like, get off my lawn,
sit down.
And I'm just so angry at them for not doing it, because I'm like, if we were able to, I was in college pre Facebook and group texting and stuff like that, and if we were able to coordinate and figure out a way that we could all get down to out to Freedom Hall, and again, Freedom Hall was a little.
How far away are we from blaming the millennials on this podcast?
Shout out to Ring Road.
We're getting there.
I'm a millennial technically, so it's like,
no,
I don't,
it's just, no, we're not. No,
you're right.
But
sorry.
Like,
stop it.
But all of us are technically.
I reject that.
I mean, I'm with you on that.
I reject that.
I reject it.
But
stop it, Joe.
I don't get it. And one person had a pretty creative solution, I thought. And that's black the game out on ESPN3 on campus, or at least put it on a 5-minute buffer. That way, you know, like, yeah, you can watch it, but you can't be on Twitter or Facebook.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's the solution, but.
Well, let's talk
5 minutes.
Let's talk about if transportation really is the issue, I see no reason why there shouldn't be a free shuttle dedicated. I know that the TARC is free, but a free shuttle dedicated to
at least 3 or 4 buses.
Like, you know. Get 3 or 4 loads of them down there, man. Yeah. I think that's completely fair. It's a cheap option. It doesn't cost that much. You take the ones that are, we have the dedicated shuttles for the students all day long.
Some guy in my Twitter feed the other day, he blamed David Pageant for the students.
Of course
he's like,
did.
Well, everything. I'm like, no, dude. It's been like this since.
They can't see over him.
Like, they're not even behind him.
When Patino was here.
Shut up.
Sit down. When Patino was here.
It's Quentin's fault.
Right. When Patino. I can't even get it out. Never mind.
So, I'm sorry, man.
No, you're good. I'm laughing so hard. But when Patino was here, you couldn't even get the damn thing filled. We were winning with Charlie and football and whatnot. You couldn't get the damn stadium filled in the student section. It's just they don't give a damn about the sports. They'd rather just socialize. And that's what you want to do, fine. But there's some people out here who have never been to a game in Yum
Center. See, we say that, but there's also a bunch of seats empty everywhere else. So it's like, I'm talking about the rest of the arena. I'm not trying to shit on your point.
I'll go fuck myself.
No, go ahead and finish.
No, you're.
It's a universal problem, man. That's what I talked about. That's what I meant in regards to the expansion at Papa John's.
Yeah, that's true.
But the one area that I just can't picture this is in the damn student section.
Yeah. And to be honest,
well, I was saying even the rest of our own arena, but like, yeah, I get it.
There has not been a marquee game at home yet. That comes on Saturday. I don't think the Yum Center sold out all year because we haven't really had a quality opponent in there to sell out against. I mean, granted. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, I can see, but student sessions should always be rowdy because when Pitt had at least 30 to 40 students in their student section today on an 8-27, whatever the hell they are. just giving them extra losses.
8-98.
8-98 team. Some bullshit. I was like, damn, they're rowdy. And our team, like I said, 6 students and it's Gerald. I mean, that's it.
You thought they were rowdy today?
Spit. Pregame, yeah, they were, okay, they were jumping up and down. And just acting, Oakland Zoo was rumbling.
Right, fair enough.
And then the game started.
Yeah.
But, no, Tyree's going to get it figured out if he is the guy, I hope he does.
Speaking of other things that he talked about, man, I thought he did a pretty good job of explaining the situation with the recent dismissals, and the reorganization of the athletic department. More than that, he's doing what we're criticizing the rest of the current administration for not doing, is that is he's being completely transparent or trying to be. He's giving updates weekly, or at least he's saying he's going to, or at least periodically. I don't want to hold him to weekly.
It was periodically. I got the impression like we'll get a monthly state of the department.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine with me. Something's great. You know,
they don't need to micromanage. Like,
no, they don't.
Like, and I think if you did a weekly update, that's kind of like, chill out. Calm down.
All right. You're saying the same stuff you said last week. Come on now. Don't you wait till you have some news.
Yeah.
All right, a few weeks off.
All right.
But Vince, I don't know. I might have called him Charlie a minute ago because of his dad. But Vince.
Holy hell.
Vince, what?
Sorry, the Cavs are currently blowing the doors off the Celtics right now with this new lineup.
I saw that
95-72.
That's what happens when you get rid of Webster.
Okay. All right.
Damn it, Joe.
All right, Cleveland.
He did well last night, too, L.A. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, but, you know, Vince kind of tried to allay some fears. He talked about how coaching salaries and facilities, they're always going to be where they need to be. You know, things that we've talked about, we're afraid of. And this is all talk right now. But the fact that that's his goal, and that, that he's not losing sight of that in the middle of all this turmoil and this unrest, that we're going to need a certain, it takes a certain amount of money to run this athletic department the way you want to run it.
Yeah,
you can't just be a rank and file member of the ACC.
We're all rooting for him, I think, to get the job.
Yeah, we've all loved what he's done from day one.
And
so.
I think right now he's getting the best head start he could possibly get. So whenever they do name the permanent AD, hopefully the permanent president follows after that.
See, I really wish it was the other way around.
Yeah, me too, Biscuit.
And I know we all do, but I don't know if that's in the cards right now.
Joe's just looking out to the side.
Like I said before, that there's too many people in interim positions trying to get permanent jobs, but not doing it in the university's best interest. They're doing it for themselves. Like, I think that's essentially what's going on with president, et cetera, is that
they need
they,
more Air Maxes and less Air Monarchs in the facility. That's what we need. So, I mean,
accurate.
Very accurate. We need, I mean, do less.
Right.
Do less.
Well, I'm happy with what Vince is doing right now, and hope to see more of it.
It's comforting. I mean, even with Tom, when Tom was here, it was very comforting, and now he's comforting as well. Like I said, you see him at all the games, he's at all the events.
You feel like he's got this.
Even if it's not true, and even if it's just all an act by Vince, the difference between this early on, in my opinion as a fan, this has nothing to do with radio or blogging or any of that. There was always a feeling with Tom that, like, the commander-in-chief was speaking. Vince is a little more approachable, I think, and that's not to say Tom wasn't, because Tom's one of the nicest celebrities, local celebrities you'll ever meet.
Right.
And one of the things that anybody that has met him can tell you, and I didn't believe it until the second time I met him, and he said, "Hey Joe, how are you doing?" That's why that guy can raise money, because he may have a lot of flaws, but remembering names and faces, it ain't one of them.
I'll tell you one thing, man.
And that's really impressive when you say that to a nobody like me. I met him years ago.
Everybody was just like, they treated Juris like he was the president or whatnot. He was the greatest. But, like, I never saw him with any security. He was walking through the crowd.
Sure.
The crowd, like, hey, shaking hands. Hey, how you doing? Hey, enjoy the game tonight.
This is what I was getting at about let's give Vince an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was just Tom's time. You know, the time was up. Because I'm a firm believer that there's no set one way of doing anything in life. Well, most things. There's different ways to break an egg is what I'm getting at.
Right.
And Tom did wonderful things, and we'll always appreciate those wonderful things. But I'm confident that the guy in there right now, if we had to lose Mark or Tom rather, I'm glad this is the guy that's coming in behind him.
Because it could have been like Kevin Stallings coming in. So, all right, man. That was the last week in a nutshell. Let's look forward. Before we get to the mailbag, big game tomorrow in Storrs, Connecticut.
Big game, man.
Not even just big, huge. Like, if there's ever a big Monday.
Might even say gigantic.
This might be the biggest game in Louisville women's history. No, I'll take that back.
Well, we've had two national championship games.
Yeah, that was
UConn.
Horrible take by LJ the fiasco there. I blame we'll Joe.
Biggest game ever until the next one.
Do you know what pisses me off? Every year football game, like, we'll start off like 5-0 and like Clemson will come down. Is this the biggest game in Cardinal football history? No, last year it was, the year before that. And when we played Florida State in 2000 was that game. You know, they're all big.
It's part of that's one of the things that having a very young program, though, is that you do get to say that every couple years.
Right, that's good. But tomorrow.
With this women's basketball team that's played for two championships, though, you don't get to say that every couple
years. Right.
Tomorrow, you get UConn at their place. And top five matchup, number one UConn versus number, what are we, three, four?
We're fourth right now. It's UConn, Mississippi State, and Notre Dame, I think, is still up there.
Notre Dame jumped us after that beatdown that
we seen. Who was it? Who they? Somebody's up there, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, well, either way it goes, man. Tomorrow night, big game. We got one of our guys from Crunch Zone, Will Cottle. He's making the drive to take some photographs for the site up there. But, fellas, Louisville gets this one, man. You got to start dreaming a little bit. I mean, even more. You gotta think they got a chance.
Baylor. Baylor's third. Sorry.
The fighting Kim Moultrie.
Kim Mulkey.
Mulkey's.
Oh, my God.
Where's Muffet?
She's terrible. Kim Mulkey's one of my least favorite people in college basketball.
I used to
ripping
our clothes off about that call.
Oh, yeah.
How can you forget? And then she stood by said some real ignorant stuff about Baylor last year.
The Dave Bliss thing.
In defense,
also told,
Art Briles. In defense of the
this stuff's happening everywhere, you know.
Baylor,
it's not just here.
She said some.
Ma'am, are you?
She also
if you have any reservations about sending your young lady to this institution, you're an idiot or something like that.
That's exactly what she said.
Excuse me, Kim.
She also told Brittany Griner to remain in the closet, otherwise she could get expelled for it being a breach of the school's code of conduct.
She told Brittany Griner to remain in the closet.
Mm-hmm. I'll get you expelled from Baylor.
What's that face? It's a problem, man. It's a real problem too.
She told Brittany Griner too. Never mind. Go ahead. What you're saying?
It's a real problem. You know, like to have a college basketball coach telling you, I don't know, to do that kind of self-destructive behavior.
You just got to think there's somebody like behind her, like a, you know, a rep or whatever, a PA rep or PR rep or whatever. It's just like,
sometimes like you can't fix stupid,
loose
man.
Cannon, man. But like, I knew that she was crazy when she started ripping her clothes off in the Baylor game when we beat them a couple years ago, and she was just like, you know,
2013.
But whatever. I think tomorrow we have a decent shot. We've had a decent shot last time we played them, last couple times, but they're just good, man. They're really, really good.
LJ, I think that the girls, the women's minds have been in UConn.
Yeah.
It's okay. I call them the men boys.
Sweet.
You can't be ultra sensitive about this. It's you know what the real issue is there. Basically, their minds have been in stores for the last 2 weeks. I mean, they've been very, very, very in, like, kind of inconsistent. Mm-hmm. It's been really hard to get Maisha and Asia to have a good game at the same time in the last couple weeks. They did have one where they both showed out. I mean, we've been winning. We've been kind of chugging along. That road win at Virginia was really good. They were tied for first in the conference as well with us and Notre Dame. Got the game against Clemson the other day. I mean, it's just been kind of ho-hum a little bit. Even though we're winning by 15, 20 points,
yeah,
it hasn't been the same brand of basketball that we were playing the first couple months. I really do think it's been a mental thing. I just hope that we're all on the same page on Monday because this is the game they've been looking forward to.
My fear is that somebody tries to do too much and tries to show out too much. I mean, you know, it's been an issue when
– Can't do it. They'll crush you.
Right now, like, if Maisha, if Asia, if Sam Fury – those three can definitely get on the same page, and the rest of the team contribute when they can and do the right thing, do the smart thing. I think Louisville has a good chance of pulling off the upset.
Well, Jazz has been playing well. Erica is key to this. I mean, we can't have a weak link out there. And frankly,
you're still on.
I'm stepping on Joe's cords. You got it. All right. We need our other bigs to step up.
I hear you.
With Sam and Maisha in the starting lineup, they're generally, you can count them every game. I mean, Maisha is a double-double, a walking double-double. Bianca Dunham has had a couple of big games lately. Her and Kylie Shook, when we have to bench our starters, we can't fall off the edge because that's what UConn's got is five stars on five stars. We have a lot of them too, but the fall-off can't be – that great when we take either Sam or Maisha off the floor. We can't fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
So basically, we need Bianca Dunham and Kylie Shook to kind of hold the line. Asia's our all-star. Asia and Maisha are All-Americans. Both of them have to show out. I mean, it's going to take a huge team effort to win this game, but I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on ESPN2. Check out the women of Louisville basketball. And man, good luck against UConn. They win
that. Let's get one.
Let's go. Let's finally get one against Gino Auriemma because I'm tired of, you know what I'm saying? He's very complimentary of Jeff Walls. Love Jeff Walls to death, but it's time to beat him. So
he has a lot of respect for our program and for Jeff.
And I mean, he gets like, people call him a jerk, he's a dick or whatever, but I mean, when it comes to Louisville, he gushes over us, man.
Yeah.
But Joe, it's time for the TZZ mailbag. We don't have an intro for that. So.
Oh, I don't have.
I thought you were looking at it.
Okay.
All right.
Damn it.
So the TZZ mailbag is now open. Last week we had a question that we didn't really get to. We didn't get to it in time. So we're going to start with that one while one of you guys looks it up. And the question was, well, it was a two-part question coming from my boy Kevin502, who always has some good ones. It was, what was the best season in the real world was the first part. And the second, what was the best reality show ever? So,
Can we start?
Whatever you
want
to do.
Can we include, does the real world road rules challenge count?
Hell, I think that counts for the second question.
Yeah.
But the first one, I think basic real world is, I think that's its own debate, in my opinion.
We can talk about the worst season.
I've dug up some of the old seasons on MTV Classic recently.
Yeah. See, I haven't watched the recent ones. You know what I mean?
If you watch the first one,
still come on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What city are they in now? Like where were like?
I mean, they're like
Tucson,
they've been recycling. Like years ago, they went to Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember Australia. I remember England too.
They I think Well, so like season one, I watched that again a couple months ago.
Bangladesh.
Man, it's depressing as hell because, like, first of all, you're like, holy crap, white people and black people haven't come anywhere in the last 25 years. Like, nowhere. They are having the exact same conversation that you have today.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then if, like, you were to take screenshots of Black Lives Matter protest in 2016
yeah.
and hold them next to the rallies they were attending in D.C. in 1996, they were the same. They were like, seriously, you could interchange the posters. So that was kind of depressing. Also, yeah. the clothes were terrible.
Oh, hell yeah. The 90s were not the move.
No, nah, man. Pre-internet days. Oof, rough yeah. living. Rough living.
Yeah, but you got a favorite season?
Vegas was pretty lit. But Vegas had some, like, psychos.
Was that when they were living in the Palms Hotel?
Yeah.
On the top floor of the penthouse?
Yeah. Like, they were just – that was – like, I liked it better when they used to have to get jobs.
Yes.
That's when the show got out of control to me. It was when they stopped making them work.
There's nothing real about not having to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least – even if it was a cushy job, at least it was a job. You know, and it added another dynamic. Like, one of my favorite stories around that – well, you remember the San Diego season?
Yeah.
All right. And all these, like, cush, just spoiled little white kids wanted to quit the job, which was an easy-ass job. All they had to do was, like, go to the harbor.
And make ice cream.
It was ridiculous. It was, no, they had to get on boats, but I don't remember what it was.
They had to, like, fish or something.
Jaw was one. It was something where they were, like, on a tour boat.
Yeah.
And Jaw was, like, he's the one black guy in the house. He didn't know how to swim. He didn't like boats. And they go around the table, and all of them, like Brad and Cameron, they're all like, yeah, I don't want to do this job anymore. They get around to him, and he was like, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't trying to quit. Yeah. And they, like, shamed them all back into going into work. And it was like, that's what you get, man.
That was an underrated season because
I love dude.
His boy got arrested. He was like, I'm in jail, bitch.
Yeah, dude. That season, I love San Diego. They went to Greece, and it was Randy, and they were riding through the streets on the little scooters that they rented, and they're all just smiling and riding. Jaws in the back, you just see him lose control of his scooter fly off the side of the road.
Do you remember
that? I love that season.
Do you remember they used to, the first like two or three seasons, they were allowed to have TVs and stuff, but John from Kentucky just wouldn't get off the couch, so they got rid of TVs.
Yeah. And I remember he got choked out by David. Like, David choked him out or whatever.
David had issues,
David
man.
Had issues, but John was from Owensboro, Kentucky. I remember he's from Owensboro, and like he was a virgin. That was a big thing about the episode. But
he's a nice guy.
Yeah. But I think my favorite one was
Seattle.
See, Seattle's a.
I didn't like Seattle because I didn't like David because he ended up smacking Irene.
What did she do to warrant the smacking?
She called him gay.
She called him gay, which he turned out to be gay.
His name was Steven.
What did I say, David?
Yeah, David was the VMI cadet. Yeah, there was two VMI cadets.
Steven ended up, he was actually in a same-sex relationship now, and he was gay, so Irene called it. She died, too.
She had Lyme disease. Right. She ended up dying from complications.
Yeah, she died. But my favorite one was Miami, man. I like Miami. I like Boston. Dude. With what was his name?
What season was CT on?
Boston.
Sure,
because he was a homeboy. He was from Boston.
Yeah.
He was from Boston. He would fight all the time.
Dude, he is still wrecking house on the challenge.
Was he in Boston or was he on Paris? I think
he was
Paris.
He was in Paris.
He was
Paris.
From Boston.
But he was from Boston.
But he had the accent down pat, dude, so I like that.
Well, he's still going beast.
And he would fight he was fighting some guys in Paris, whipping everybody's ass in the streets of Paris. Like, you know, they just beating people down. But,
dude, my moment from the Miami season that I loved was with the guy who modeled. When the other girl opened up his pictures.
Oh, God. And he went off
yours?
On her.
Were the ears the touch, bitch?
And it's just like, oh, my God.
And then she gets banging, and they're having sex in the shower. Like, throws them in the shower, and everybody's, like, trying to listen in on it. That was good when San Diego was good.
What was that guy? Was that Dan?
I really liked Hawaii, personally, with Tech and Rudy, man. Only because the first day they were naked and drunk, like, within a half an hour.
Do you remember Frank, the dude that looks like Steven Adams? The gay dude with the mustache?
Oh, man. From which season?
I forget the – God, man. They all blur together at this point. Plus, I took like a 5-year break from watching them, and then when my wife and I started dating, she watched them, and I was like, I could get back into this.
Couldn't do it. I stopped when they went to England. I was done after that.
I stopped
in season 8 or 9, and I haven't been back for Real World.
I don't watch Real World anymore, but we still watch the challenge because, like, all the old cast are still coming around.
Is Flora still on there? Not Flora, but the black chick who was on every single Royal Rules challenge.
Oh, Cora?
Coral.
Coral
isn't on there anymore, but Oh, what's the your Miz? Crazy ass name? The Miz is hosting them. Johnny Bananas is still on there.
I don't know who Johnny Bananas is.
He was from Road Rules.
Is Abe still around?
No.
Wes?
Abe's not allowed to because he went crazy because Kara was cheating on him.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
I saw that.
Dude, it was nuts, man.
So I remember I was watching CNN last week and your boy Sean was on like Capitol Hill giving a speech. I remember he ran for politics.
Oh, yeah.
He ran for politics.
Yeah.
Did he win politics?
Speaking of former real world that are
he ran for politics.
Do y'all remember Chet?
He got into politics.
Do you remember Chet the Mormon?
Oh God, it's been a long time.
He's a terrible like Mormon version of Milo on Twitter.
Oh God,
he's insufferable.
Oh my God, the worst season to me though. That was the best. The worst one was England sucked. England was terrible. I mean, it was just boring as hell. No one knew anything. It was just boring as hell. But there was a couple bad ones on there, man. Like Denver was pretty bad to me. Denver was the one where like they finally had two, when I was stopped. They
you
finally
know,
like, had two black guys on. I was like, oh, it's two black guys, and one was like a Republican, and the other one was like a drunk. And I'm just like, and then the first
one was ripped as hell, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was the one that was drunk. And the one guy they had a gay guy on there who was using racial slurs in the first episode. The first episode, he's going off on a racial rant. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're trying too hard, man.
I stopped watching it a couple of years ago because I was convinced the dude was going to die on the show. And I don't mean that as a joke.
No.
They had this dude from Boston. He's from the south side of Boston, and he had issues, man. And like, do you all watch It's Always Sunny?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, did you remember Charlie's dream journal?
Yeah.
His dream diary, like bird with teeth and stuff like that.
Which
dude,
we fulfilled already.
I'm not kidding you. They found it, and it was like, this is something from Always Sunny. Like, it would have, like, I just want to die, I just want to die, I just want to die. And then, like, pictures of, like, knives and, like, I mean, it was intense.
So did he die?
No, but they had to boot him from the show because when he came there, he was, like, he was also, like, a goth kid or, like, a punk kid.
Everything sucks. I hate everything.
Tatted up and, like, black fingernail polish and all that.
Emo.
And, yeah. And they were all, like, the first night everybody's partying, and he's like, nah, I'm sober these days. You know, I don't drink. And they're like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, I used to be really messed up on drugs. I'm like, oh, well, that's good that you got clean. And then as, like, the days progress, by, like, day three, he's doing tequila shots at 10 a.m. And it, like, his progression just – we watched, like, three episodes. I was like, yeah, MTV needs to get him off – because they were on an island for that season. They were on an island.
You remember Ruthie was like an alcoholic, and one day like she got in the car and was like driving drunk, and like producer was like hauling ass down the street.
She had problems, man.
Yeah,
Ruthie looked like Tiger Woods.
She did.
Oh, she did.
Her twin sister too.
Dude, that used to mess me up. Whatever. Yeah, Ruthie, is she still alive?
I think she got clean. Like I think I remember years ago they had a special, like catching up on some of them, and she got clean.
Tech was in Van Wilder. Yeah,
he was in something else too.
Yeah, he was. I'm trying to remember what it was.
If you look at Real World Season 1, dude, like Kevin started writing for Vibe.
Heather
B's on Sway.
Yeah.
Heather B's on Sway.
Eric Nese.
Eric Nese was like the pump up he has on like fitness workout.
The grind.
Yeah, the grind. There you go. So I mean, they all landed on their feet. Best reality show ever, guys. No particular order. Go.
I never really got into reality TVs. Until reality TV was the only TV that was on outside of sports.
Sure.
Right.
Like, I really tried my hardest to rage against it, and it was probably, like real world that broke me into it, because, like, I would never watch Survivor or Big Brother.
I've never
watched The Hills. I never watched Laguna Beach.
Oops, sorry.
He's like all that stuff that was popping off 10, 15 years ago, I didn't watch
Beach.
It. So I'm going to have to go with Hollywood, starring 3-6 Mafia and their buddies, because it was just... what happens when you bring some dudes from Memphis and plop them down in Hollywood and give them a freaking Grammy.
That's awesome. See, I didn't, or an Oscar. I also didn't like, really, I watched the first part of the first season of Survivor, I think, but I never watched Big Brother. I was never really into Survivor after that. I liked Real World for the longest time, which got me into Road Rules, and then after they got rid of Road Rules, pretty much, just to have the challenge. Loved that for years. Haven't really watched it in a long time, but from that, it got me into... other trash MTV reality shows. Like,
right.
I didn't watch The Hills or any of that stuff. Not really. I did when I'd go. I have one buddy that loves trash television. Whenever we go there, we might watch that. But I did watch, what was the one where Brody was looking for his best friend, his new best friend? That was one of the worst shows I've ever watched in my life, and I could not stop watching it. Brody Jenner. had a competition to see who his new best friend would be. That show was god awful, and I watched every episode.
I mean, think about how far Caucasians have come in hip hop, that there's no longer really a space in pop culture for a white rapper show.
Right.
But do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Making the band was awesome.
Shamrock. Oh, that kid was whack.
MC Search hosted. They were bringing other white rappers, other white people who contributed to rap to like be hosts on the show.
Dude.
And one of the girls on the show used the N-word like faithfully. They had to finally like say, hey, that's not cool. Stop that. And she was like, oh, whatever. Okay, cool. I'll stop.
But yeah. Not really. I probably won't.
But,
really,
but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Making the band. B-A-B-A-N-D. Amazing.
Dylan.
Amazing.
Dylan.
See, I don't even know that it was really that good, but it gave us the Dave Chappelle skit that mocked it, which was amazing. So it's in the honorable mention, definitely.
Making the band rap and making the band the R&B group Day 26, which I do have their album at home. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I did buy it. But
fair.
Those were good. But like when they merged the two with them and Danity Kane, and it became a love story between the like guy that was like bipolar or whatever, and he would always like cry at a moment's notice.
What?
I only watched the season of Making the Band with my boy Chopper.
That's it.
Chopper.
Dylan.
We saw Chopper in Chicago once, and we're like, hey, D-A-B. Yeah. And he was over there living it up.
Still living it up, still trying to get on that.
What was it? Y'all talking this, y'all talking that. Bad boy gonna hit you with a baseball bat.
Bad boy this and bad boy that. Yeah. Bad boy hit you with a baseball bat or something
like
that.
It was something like that.
Oh,
man.
Oh gosh.
That's
but yeah, I watched it every season until it got to Danity Kane.
The Dave Chappelle dialogue, the blank stare. I know y'all can't hear me.
Sugar cookie man.
Cambodian.
A sugar cookie. Hey, yo, I'm locking the studio down.
He was locking down every week. Every week.
Man, but I mean, for people that never saw the skit, he really did make them walk from like.
Yeah.
They Queens to Manhattan to get him some damn
cheesecake. Yeah.
Get me my damn cheesecake. Dude. Y'all ain't even being serious. I'm locking the studio.
They walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, didn't they?
Yeah.
From like Manhattan, lower Manhattan.
Just complaining the whole time.
Are
man.
You serious?
Imagine having FU money like that where you're just like, I'm going to start a reality show, then I'm just going to start sending people across the bridge to get me some cheesecake.
Dude, but Diddy. But Diddy would have them in this crazy penthouse. Like, he had them in the best houses, dude. He would, like, have it all set up. But
then he locked the house down.
I'm locking the studio down.
Y'all got to go live in the guest house.
He would cuss them out, dude. Every episode, I'm locking the studio down. Y'all know how to act. And then next week, y'all got to prove to me you want the studio back over. They would, like, do, like, a song and dance and open it back up.
Yeah.
And next week, Chopper would do some dumb. I'm closing it down.
Close it down.
You and Elliot Ness need to wrap this off.
Elliot
Ness.
You and Babs need to lock this down.
I forgot about all of them.
Yeah, making the band is up there, man, for me.
Keep talking. I'm looking these fools
up.
I'm trying to think.
I liked, what was it called? I liked Two A Days. They used to be on MTV. They had, it was Hoover High School.
And I like Jeremy Pros Pruitt, versus Joes, if you want to consider that a reality show.
Jeremy Pruitt is now the head coach of Tennessee, but he was on that show. That's where he started out with Hoover High School.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
American Idol first season only. Second season when Ruben Studdard won.
But see, if we're including all the competition, which they do on the Emmys.
Okay.
In reality shows, so I will do the same. I love, like, my Iron Chef.
Yeah?
Not Iron, I'm sorry, Top Chef is, like, my
O-Town.
100%.
Go to hell, Joe.
O-Town.
Don't
amazing.
Mention the name again on the show.
I used to watch Project Runway like a mother.
Hey, dude, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Dude, Bravo was always like, Top Chef was like the gateway drug. And all of a sudden, you're watching Project Runway and like really getting attached to these designers.
I enjoy Hell's Kitchen. I still enjoy it.
Hell's Kitchen's good.
Well, would you consider it a Triple D? A reality show?
Man, no, that's a documentary type show.
I'm only saying that
because
I'm trying to piss him off.
Nah,
and he's not paying
attention.
He's not taking the bait, but he's twitching over here.
Any reality competition show.
Guy Fieri's a cook.
Dylan Dillinger.
Dylan Dillinger.
Chopper, Young City. These bums. Freddie P.
Freddie P quit like in the middle of the season. He's like, I'm not even sure I want to rap anymore. He's like, are you retiring?
Who is Sarah Stokes? 21?
What was his name? Sarah was the singer chick, the light-skinned singer chick.
Oh, yeah,
that
okay.
Her husband was like nuts. And like Chopper would hang up on the husband all the time, and her and Chopper would go at it.
It even says in their their wiki page that they're most known for their Dave Chappelle show parody.
So here's a trivia: who was their like representative or whatever? Like who stayed in the house with them?
It was what's his name? Is it Bentley?
Farnsworth Bentley.
Yeah, oh, Farnsworth Bentley. Yeah, yeah, man. Farnsworth Bentley, like.
He had a reality show, too, from G's the Gents.
Yeah. Do y'all remember one year this show was funny? When my wife and I started dating, there was a show on VH1 that somebody at work had told us about. They're like, Joe, you love to make fun of dudes that wear Affliction? Check out this thing called Tool Academy.
Oh, okay.
Holy crap, this show was hilarious.
I remember Tool Academy because those guys were like, hold on, that was another show. Go ahead.
Tool Academy was like more meathead than Jersey Shore.
Well, those are the guys that like were all tanned and had like gelled hair, and they were okay.
And constantly cheated on their girlfriends. Yeah,
they were all most of them from either New Jersey or from Boston.
Yeah, and they were all just like meatheads and who like tore the sleeves off of everything.
Yeah, I remember that. They all like wore a bunch of cologne, tanned every day.
Yep.
Had crazy hair, and they were always listening to like techno music or whatnot.
Dude, the pickup artist. That show was so bad, but was so entertaining to watch these.
I would have kicked that guy's ass had I seen him.
100%. Like the whole thing's horseshit, right?
Oh yeah.
You're watching it going, "There's this doesn't."
What was
work.
His name? Mystique.
Oh, I forgot what is his name.
It was.
It was something ridiculous.
X-Men.
No, like
he's the guy who was all about he was the peacocking and like wearing the
what?
Scarves.
Rendezvous.
You don't remember the pickup artist?
I do not.
He wore eyeliner and like a top hat.
Dude,
he basically dressed like Bam Margera.
I hated his show too.
And a vampire.
And if Bam Margera and a vampire bang.
Pick up the pickup artist.
Or it's like basically taking Chris Angel.
Yeah.
And slapping some
holy hell.
What's his name again?
Keep going, John.
Rendezvous, I think is his name.
Mystery.
Yes.
I'm looking at the pictures.
Yeah, this man's got it pulled up and he won't tell us. I had to read it from over here. The soul patch.
The Pam Anderson furry top hat.
He's got his fingernails painted, and that he was supposed to be teaching socially awkward gentlemen's how to pick up beautiful women in bars. And it's just everybody at home is looking at this going, this is not
Mystery.
How it works.
His name's Eric Von Markovic, and his wings J-Dog and James Matador.
You got a peacock out. Escalation. I remember
look
that.
Look at dude on the right. He's got skunk hair.
Get the hell out of here. He's picking. He's teaching you how to pick up women?
I mean, besides the fact that this show wouldn't have started in the current climate today.
Hey,
but
without Real World, they birthed them all. But
beyond that, he was like, his advice was so terrible. It's clear that all of it was a complete and total like setup. The bars were fake.
Jamiroquai the hat looking ass boy.
Stop.
The people were actors. I don't know how somebody won. The whole thing was ridiculous.
I think about Jersey Shore when it first started, how it was like a craze. I was like addicted to it. But then
it was pretty fun.
It was nothing but Sammy. Complaining about what?
It's like they let him go through
Is he still alive?
Is that actually him?
I think so, man. But it looks like he's dressed out of like the costume like, bin in a Marilyn Manson video.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's cosplaying as him. It doesn't even look like him.
I'm pretty sure it's him on stilts.
So here's the thing. Jersey Shore is about to come back with a reunion show.
Yeah, the Jersey Shore reunion.
It might get the hell out of my face, Joe.
You wanted to see it.
And then Mike the Situation comes to the door the other day. I saw a clip of it, and he's like, life has hit Mike hard. Mike is no longer going to the gym anymore and tanning every day. Mike has 3 chins now. I'm like,
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike the Situation. But
dude, I'll never forget when I think it was season 2 when Ronnie was on the boardwalk and knocked that dude
out.
That's one shot, kid. Meathead was running.
Oh, dude, when he brained that kid on the boardwalk.
I think that was season 2 because everybody was giving him shit about Jersey Shore. You know, so every time they were out at a bar, they were getting a lot of unwanted attention.
No, it was season 1 because that's what got me hooked on the show.
Yeah, but one guy season 2 was when Snooki got knocked out at the bar by the guy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was ordering, they were ordering drinks, and he co-caught Snooki in the face.
Not to laugh at that, but that was ridiculous.
Yeah, he co-caught Snooki in the face.
Remember when she got drunk on the beach and got arrested?
Yeah.
Which time?
A lot of stuff happening. But
now she's like a mom now.
Ronnie cracked that dude. and just starts running down the boardwalk. Oh, that's one shot, kid. That's one shot. Just like, it was the most ridiculous meathead thing I've ever seen in my life.
He knocked some guy out of the club, and then he ran. They went to the house. I was like, Ronnie, you got the guy in con. We got to take you to jail.
Ronnie's hiding under the house in the crawl space.
They found him. They pulled him out. They're just like, we got to take you to jail. And he's like, what? He's like, man, you're not the guy out, Ronnie. You know
he knocked him out on the boardwalk.
Yeah, but it was, he knocked out another guy, like at the club. He just went back to sleeping, guys, the whole season. It's like, Ronnie and Sammy.
He's a big dude.
Ronnie
ain't gonna
and
lie.
Sammy will fight every single episode, dude. But the situation, Mike, Ronnie, Vinny, Samantha.
Vinny was like, Vinny was the only good person. Well, Pauly D was kind of, was
Pauly
D
was funny. He was off show too. He was like a DJ.
Well, he's an actual DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Vinny was the normal guy that was there.
Yeah,
you know,
Vinny was like, he did not belong.
I remember Vinny went to a black barbershop because he was like, I go to the black barbershop and I treat my hair. I have a thick Italian hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like a thing. I'm like, hey.
Vinny knows what's up.
Hey, Vinny.
Dude,
hey.
And then you got, welcome home, buddy. You got Pauly D over here running around looking like Quetland Finnegan.
Pauly
Damn
D.
it. He did like Cortland.
He looked, man, I like never saw them in the same place.
Let's move on real quick, man. Well, because we, not so we'll run so low. But, all right, next question in the mail. Go ahead, Biscuit. I'm sorry.
Beauty and the Geek was the last one that I loved that didn't, wasn't on very long.
I only tried to I watched a few episodes of that.
Dude, it was hilarious.
And I watched a few episodes of White Swap.
Because it was just like, man, White Swap. Yeah, it wasn't, there's a few funny moments from White Swap, but for the most part, like Beauty and the Geek. There was a couple of pretty product episodes, pretty awesome episodes.
And I actually worked with somebody who was on Wife Swap.
Really?
She had a certificate on her wall showing that she was on Wife Swap. Wife Swap.
That's
so
ridiculous.
That's funny. So the next question, we'll wait for Joe Stepdad, y'all, but me and Vince are going to keep the show rolling.
Yeah.
It asks, and it comes from, he's got a douche name too. Like, you can see this in the movies, like the 80s movies. Deuce Cooper.
No.
Not shout out to you, but I'm just messing with you, Deuce. If you all could have any guests for an episode, who would it be? He said, like, obviously, Lamar would get you all a lot of listeners, but someone who played a while ago and has less at stake probably has better stories. And Joe put under his comment, Joe commented Ray Buchanan.
The Ray's Joe's boy.
Big player Ray. So, go. Who's somebody that you would like to hear from that you haven't heard from?
I just said Ray's not his boy. Ray Childs is his boy. I said Ray Buchanan's boy.
Yeah.
No, Ray Buchanan's a good one. That is a good one.
That is a good one. Big play Ray. Super Bowls. Yeah.
Let me see. I don't know. You know what? In light of recent events, I actually would love to sit down with Eric Wood.
I was hoping to see him at the game because he was there.
He was there, yeah.
And if he was, I was going to ask him, hey, we would love to have you on our podcast if you're in town, if you're free.
But I think that man's probably got that'd be awesome. I'm sure he's got a full dance card right now.
And that's what he said. He's like, I'm still with the Bills. So Shyamoff, to his credit, he didn't try to say it like that.
No.
He was like, I'm still a Bill. I'm just hurt. You know what I'm saying? So Eric Wood would be one. You got anybody else you think of?
Yeah, man, plenty. Old school. I don't know, man.
Old school. I mean, of course I would love to. I don't think Teddy's made a public appearance at a game since he's left.
I don't think he has either.
I know he's been in the city, of course. He's been around the team, but we haven't seen him, like, on the mic, or he hasn't been in a game since. He's one. I would love to talk to Chris Redmond. I mean,
Chris would be a good one.
Chris would be a good one. Arnold Jackson will be another.
Deion Branch.
Deion Branch, Super Bowl MVP, Deion Branch. It's football. Basketball-wise, I mean, I've did an interview with DeJuan Wheat before, which was pretty insightful. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to do Griff because everybody's heard Griff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, Griff is so generous with his time. Yeah. And he's so ever-present.
I Griff. Well, let me think for a minute. Who was somebody?
I'd love to have Russ.
Yeah.
No, you don't look convinced. No, I'd love to have Russ Smith on the podcast.
Yeah, Russ receiver would be great. Cal Kerrick would be another
Corgi.
One. Hell yeah.
Dude, Gorgie.
Hell yeah.
Gorgie might be the man.
After everything Cal Kirk's been through, I would love to talk to him about, you know, his time after Louisville and just the Syracuse game and all that kind of stuff.
I just keep thinking about Ray Buchanan. That's a really good answer.
Ray
came into the locker room after he was there the night before the Florida State game too, but I wasn't in the locker room. It was just everybody was dressing.
Right.
In 2002. But then I went into the locker room after the game, and Ray was in there in his suit and just, you know, telling everybody, man, I told y'all you're gonna win. Like, just going, everybody was peeling paint off the walls, man.
I would like to
Buchanan's a good answer.
Sam Madison, Ted Washington, Elvis Dumervil, Roman Oben. I mean, there's a couple.
See, I'm thinking of some of the old school guys like Ted Washington, Roman Oben, man.
I would love to hear from I would like to get Brom in here, man. Like Jeff Brom. just to hear about his days at U of L and whatnot. Joe, you already answered the question. You put Ray Buchanan. Who's somebody that's, you know, one of the older guys, not like Lamar or Teddy or anything like that, but somebody who played for Louisville back in the late 90s, whatever, whatever, that you would like to have on the show as a guest?
Dwayne White.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we might not survive said interview, but...
How was it like playing with John L. Smith, sir?
Michael Josiah'd be fun too.
Well, I see him at almost every Louisville game, so I can ask him if you're ever interested.
Where do you see him?
He runs an organization like that does Little League or whatever. Yeah. He brings the kids to the game every game.
He's an interesting cat, man.
Very.
Yeah, I've spent some time with him. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He literally scared the hell out of me while I was in college at all times because we had classes together. But I've seen him in action at parties, and I don't mean like dancing. I mean like dragging people across bar tops and stuff and punching guys in the face. Shout out to Michael Josiah.
Were you at a Jillian's?
I was at the Red Barn. The night of the Jillian's thing that you're talking about. That night when all them guys got arrested for Louisville back in 2001, to whatever it was, I had left probably about an hour before. I went back because I had a final the next day. It was finals week. And no, I didn't have a final. I was done. But one of my friends had got extremely intoxicated, and I had to drive her back to the dorm. And me and a friend had to drive
small
her back
miracles.
To the dorm. So I get up next morning, and it's all over the news. I'm just like, what in the hell happened?
Yeah, I wasn't there. I just know people that were, and the stories from it are insane. The staff, like, went inside the manager's office and locked themselves in.
Dude,
until the police got there, and that's why there was so much damage done, because nobody attempted to break this fight up.
When they say brouhaha, that was like – it wasn't even that. It was just like full out melee with Louisville football players fighting the staff, and I think the cops got involved.
Oh yeah,
it was just like a straight up ass whooping for everybody. But yeah, it was fun seeing that. And I remember like we had a class with Josiah, and he was just talking about how John L was out recruiting, out of town. He came back in like early and made them run the steps at the stadium, all of the steps, like from the east section to the top and back, all the way around.
Yep.
So. There's a bunch of Louisville greats, man, that I would love to hear from. But
I wonder what Dwayne White's doing right now.
Yeah, after he left, where did he get drafted at? He went to Detroit. He didn't really have the kind of career he had at Tampa when he went to Detroit, and I haven't really heard much about him. Ronnie Gent would be another one, man.
Talk about all my old teammates.
A couple guys. But
Dwayne's just a scary man.
You know what? No, but you know who I really want to hear from? There's one guy.
That's why I just said his name and then shut up.
I've just been thinking about everything. We've talked about it before. He's one of the scariest dudes I've ever been on the field with. He's a scary man.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, well, not funny, but there's one guy I do want to have on the show, but if he's ever gracious enough to bless us with his presence. That's Paul Rogers.
Who
has seen a million games, has been around for years, since like I was in elementary school and middle school and whatnot. I would like to hear, you know, his take on like, what's your favorite game? What's the best game? Because I asked Sean Moth, and he was like, you know, Syracuse, he just has so many because he's done so many games for every sport. But I want to hear Paul Rogers, best football game, best basketball game, go. And just have him just tell us like his experience about calling games and whatnot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
What else we got? We got any other questions?
I don't think so. We're almost at 2 hours or 1 minute, 1 hour and 51 minutes. So if you guys want to wrap it up, I mean, we kind of just transitioned and dudes talking like we normally do.
Oh, yeah.
So any other questions or anything we didn't touch on?
We covered it this week.
Yeah,
the UNC game, we didn't really preview it too much.
Once
again,
what do you say about it? Holla my boy Joe Kelly. He will be doing post game with the homie Patty Ice, Pat Jaggers, on Saturday, starting whenever the game ends, so probably about 10-ish.
Well, it's supposed to go start at 10. But
Joe's doing the game. It'll be about 11 o'clock because of three,
it's
going to
be overtime.
Triple overtime. 81-50, 93-9.
Holla at Joe, holla at Pat. I'm going to either be covering the game or spectating the game with Joe. Biscuit will be a spectator himself. Mark Blankenbaker will be either covering the game or being a spectator himself. So we'll figure out when we get down there. Support the women. The team plays tomorrow at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Go late women Cardinals. almost did it.
Just the Cardinals, man.
Go Cards. Damn it.
It's just the Cardinals.
Sorry, Rachel.
Or you can call them the women or the ladies. That's not,
shout out to the Louisville women's basketball team. Shout out to the Fighting Jeff Walls. Spring practice is about to start. We have an off week, pretty much. Louisville doesn't play anybody all week. So,
North Carolina is a very beatable team. They don't play well on the road. Oh, they did just game off win against Duke. I mean, that was a pretty impressive win.
Is that really the road for them? It's down the road.
Did they literally. Was that at Duke?
I'm not sure.
It was at North Carolina.
I think
it was at North Carolina. Yeah. But I mean, they're talented. They're not as talented as last year's team. I mean, Joel Berry, Luke
struggling against Louisville every time we play them.
Yeah, I look at their squad and I think it's a decent matchup for us, and they don't play well on the road.
But
we have to show up.
I am not poking fun at North Carolina at all, because Roy Williams has been incredibly successful. But it's been really interesting to me to see schools like Kentucky and now Duke totally embrace the one and done policy, and North Carolina not really get involved in it.
Yeah, they kind of just shied away from it.
You know what
bit.
I mean? Like,
they
I mean,
still win.
They kind of recruited the same people that we did. Yeah. Really, like the guys in the teens, 20s, and 30s.
Yeah.
Were really the heart of their recruiting class. Then they get a one and done once every couple
Which
years.
Which is it's kind of weird, because a guy like Marvin Bagley looks like the kind of kid that would have gone to North Carolina when I was a kid.
It's crazy, dude.
You know, I mean,
I remember we wanted Theo Pinson really, really bad, and I thought he was going to be one and done, and he's still there.
Yeah.
So,
some of it's just been stuff like that where they just haven't panned out as one and done.
Yeah,
but you're right. Most of their recruiting has been.
I can't think of
like
the last.
Ours.
I can't think of the last one and done they had that was dominant. I can't think of the last kid from North Carolina to go into the NBA and be like really good.
Joe Forte.
I mean, what's his name left last year, but he wasn't, you know, like
Justin,
a dominant. They weren't sure he was going to.
Justin Jackson was decent. Yeah. He left last year. And I think he was a senior, wasn't he?
No.
He was a junior. What's his name was a senior? Kennedy Meeks.
There was a freshman that went
Kennedy
last
Meeks
though.
Is now playing for Kentucky. He's changed his name to Kevin Knox, so shout out to him.
There's a freshman that went last year from their team that they didn't expect.
Right. And he went late first round, I think, or early second round. I can't remember. But everybody was like, why are you going?
John Henson. That's their best player in the NBA.
There you go.
Vince Carter's still out there.
Yeah, he is. He's still out there.
Somebody else is still out there, too, that was their a great player for them.
UNC always blew me away. That
Ed Cota. Damn. What's his name? Him and Rashad McCants played together.
Ed Davis.
No,
Raymond Felton and Sean May were with him. Yeah.
Sean May is now on the coaching staff for UNC.
Yep,
which I still can't believe. I thought he was going to be a great pro.
Man, I didn't think he'd be able to stay healthy.
His knees were pretty bad, weren't they?
Yeah, he had paper knees to start with, and he had baby fat even as a senior. You know, it's amazing to me that Boris Diaw's had the career he's had.
Tony Bradley was the one that left last year.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just, I mean. When I started getting into college basketball, I just remember the run that they had. Well, not started getting into it, but in middle school it was Stack and Rasheed with a litany of guys in there that were talented in between that just slipped my mind at the moment. And then it was Vince and Antoine
Jameson.
And
he had a hell of a run.
Dean Smith had a hell of a class in the 90s, man. Those four guys you just named. And
the weirdest part, too, is that the guy that was considered the baller in college arguably wasn't the better in the NBA. Like, I think everybody would take Vince Carter over Antoine Jameson, and I think most people would take Rasheed over Stack.
Yeah.
In the
NBA. Right now, to be honest, man.
They were all four of them were good in the NBA,
I think Jerry Stackhouse, even though he was, you know, started playing at being a journeyman towards the end of his career, I never would have thought he would not be in the league and Vince Carter would, because at one point.
Well, Vince is 40. That happens.
I think he's like 41, but like I'm like, all I can do is dunk. But then he got to the league and he's like balling out. With
hey,
the
I mean, that's what happens though.
He changed himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's you got to do what Jordan did, and at some point, it's going to apply to LeBron supposedly, but he's not slowing down. LeBron's a freak.
He
man.
Is a freak.
I always said that LeBron, what he would do. I used to think that he would go down and play the four towards the end of his career, and maybe now that you've got the quote positionless basketball, he will. But I don't think he also wants to hang out in the paint and when he's in his late 30s. Like, he's going to have so much wear and tear on that body.
Not trying to jinx him, but he's the only guy I've known that has been a superstar that's never been hurt, like, ever. Like, he's rested and been tired, but he's never been hurt.
Yeah,
like,
I don't remember
him
ever sitting out a game.
And he's – bad ankles, bad injury,
sore. Right.
No, I'm playing. But, they just got through dog walking to the Celtics, I think. But, Joe, where can they find you at?
At That Boy's Good.
And?
You can catch me on Mondays co-hosting 3 to 6 with Mark Ennis on The Drive on 93.9 The Ville.
Okay. There you go.
Biggest Biscuit.
You can find me at most local buffets Monday through Friday.
There's that.
at Biggest Biscuit on Twitter. Yeah. Come hit us up, man.
And shout out to
Cards.
The sheriff, Mark. His Mark Blankenbaker. Follow him in the Crunch Zone and all things Crunch Zone at thecrunchzone.com.
Cody and Andrea.
Shout out to AccuBounce, who sponsors the show. Doc Kobe, Andrea, who are one of our biggest sponsors, pretty much, with the Crush On podcast. And you can go holler at them for all of your pain needs. So I'm at the game the other day, still some fine folks. Hey, LJ the Fiasco, you know my handle, Bucketology, Bucketism, all that stuff comes out this week. And we will be preparing for next Saturday, which is by far one of the two biggest home games that Louisville will have this year, the other one being Virginia, of course, who lost yesterday to Virginia Tech, which is crazy.
But Buzz Williams, man.
Buzz Williams doing it again.
Buzz Williams.
So we'll be back on next Sunday to recap just North Carolina and the UConn game. Go to the cars all over. Go cars all over. I don't know how to end this shit, so I'm just going to play some music.
Just say bye.
Just say bye. All right, and I got to put something on. So
love you, Louisville.
Love you, Louisville. Be cool in this hot city, all that great stuff. And, yeah, I'm just going to end it. I don't have a song to play.
We call him Buzz because he's always just flying about.
Go cars, go Kroger.
Buzz it in your ear.
Later.